We're going to go to Croke Park because it's high time that we got and sampled a little bit of the atmosphere and the build-up to the game, the pageantry and the build-up going on as we speak. And two men I want to talk to just this minute are our commentary team for today, analysing the action as usual. He's hot-footed it up from the Gresham after his 11 to 1 o'clock show as usual as Wishy Fogarty, and your match commentator is Gary O'Sullivan. Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
Afternoon, Alan.
Very well indeed. Wishy, all went well down in the Gresham. A great programme there, and plenty of people with their opinions on today's game.
Ah, yes, Alan. As usual, as we've done for the last 6 years, Radio Kerry produced that programme there from the Gresham. It was absolutely superb. The place was absolutely packed, and it was wonderful to be able to meet the guests and meet the ordinary people. But the highlight of the whole thing for me was when a young baby, only 6 weeks old, was brought in, dressed in a green and gold jumpsuit, and landed up on the table in front of us. I said, the youngest fan in Dublin today. What a great morning, and our thanks to Kerry Group, of course, to sponsors, Alan.
Of course, the youngest guest on a Wishy Fogarty programme, maybe. Is that the record he has now?
I'd say it's the youngest guest probably ever on Radio Kerry, I said, for that matter. They handed him to me. I was like the late Michael Jackson, holding up the baby, making sure that he wouldn't fall.
Oh, stop the lights. I see there's a Kerry and a Cork player out on the field there at the moment, Wishy. Will you just describe exactly what they look like to us?
Yeah, what's happening now at the moment, Gary, Alan, there's a spectacular display going on just in front of us. You have all these school children, all these from the various schools in Dublin, and they're waving these huge, massive, big red and white flags and green and gold flags. And then you have these two big, massive caricatures of footballers dancing around the midfield.
They're not the prettiest.
They're not the prettiest, but I can tell you, they're nearly as big as Eleanor O'Connell be for Cork in the middle of the field today. And at the other end, then you have the green and gold caricature of the Kerry footballer. And he's not far behind, I'd say, Dara O'Shea.
That's fair enough. Look at Gary, this is the sixth All-Ireland in a row. We certainly don't know much different down these parts in terms of putting together these programmes and the build-ups to the game. How is the atmosphere building towards 3:30 there?
Yeah, it's brilliant, Alan. I'd say in about a minute's time you'll hear an all-merciful roar, because Kerry are due out at 3:05, and we're almost bang on that. Cork will come out second at 3:07. The atmosphere is brilliant, Alan. It's a little bit cloudy here. It was a lovely morning. Sun is shining. It's a very dry day, you know, and atmosphere is brilliant. I've never seen as many people looking for tickets in my life down in O'Connell Street. Literally thousands of people looking to buy tickets, looking, you know, placards up, tickets for sale, can we have tickets? But the atmosphere is building. It's still not fully packed here in Croke Park. I'd say, you know, well, is it 83,000 capacity? Well, I suppose you're about 80 at the moment, all right. But it's very colourful. The Artane band have just come onto the field now, down to our right. Wishy has mentioned the colour in front of us. Everything is placed. We're just waiting Kerry to come out. We had the 84, 5 and 6 team. A Kerry are coming, Alan, in about 5 seconds.
I see
we'll
them
just
here,
stop.
Yeah.
And this is the roar. Here they come. Darren O'Sullivan leads it on. David Murphy, Tomás O'Shea, Dim Tom Sullivan, Tommy Griffin, Mark Shea, Killian Young, Paul Galvin, Mike McCarthy, Declan, Colm Cooper, Seamus Scanlon, Tommy Welch. Then comes Ty Kennelly. Darren O'Shea is the last man and then the substitute. So Kerry are on the field. Great atmosphere, Alan. It's great build-up. We're about, 25 minutes away now.
Gary, can I just ask you, there's been a whisper down here. Tim Sheehan was on the programme with me earlier on, and he says that there was a whisper that Ray Carey may not be starting, that Kieran O'Connor might be starting cornerback for Cork.
Yeah, well, we had that same whisper yesterday. We still can't confirm that now. If you stay with me for the next 2 minutes, we should know, because we'll see if he comes out wearing the number two or not. I presume, in fact, he's here now, not even 2 minutes. Here comes Cork, led by Graham Canty. I'll just have a look now, Sam. I see the number two jersey coming out. At the moment, no sign of him. So I think the whisper is true, Alan. No, number two is not there. Is he coming out? He is here. Now, he does seem to have a slight limp. He wouldn't be the freshest looking number two I saw coming out there.
Yeah,
but we just have to wait and see, Alan.
I see him. He's one of the last players to come out there.
He's out, so we can't confirm. I suppose if he doesn't make it, you know, Owen Cadigan, I presume, is mentioned to go in a cornerback. But, you know, there's a lot of options. He could have Kieran O'Connor, Jer Spillane, I suppose, could slot in there. So plenty of options on the bench as well for Conor Coonan today.
Wishy, just to go back to you as well, I'll let yourself and Gary get into the nitty-gritty of the build-up to the game after the break, but for Kerry, where they've come from around the middle of the season via the Dublin game on the August Bank Holiday and then the semi-final against Meath, it would be an absolutely extraordinary win for Kerry to capture the All-Ireland today.
Well, the form they have been shown all along, Alan, it has been poor enough, with the exception of the Dublin game, really, when they were absolutely scintillating. Of course, Dublin were terrible that day. But you know what? In all my years coming to games and watching them and listening about them and talking, reading about them and writing about them, I have never, ever seen such a build-up to a game in the line of analysis and in the line of pros and cons and in the line of talking about it and trying to figure out and everything about it. I've never seen anything like it. Nobody seems to know really exactly what's going to happen. It's all pros and cons. And at the end of the day, the only thing I'd say to you is Cork are under absolutely tremendous pressure. The pressure the players must have been feeling in the dressing room before they come out must have been absolutely horrendous, because they're in a place now they'd prefer not to be, having been beaten by Kerry five times here before. And on the other hand, Alan, then Kerry are in a good place really, because they're the underdogs. And it's the first time ever that Kerry went into Croke Park after they've been underdogs in two games, once against Dublin and once against Kerry. So you have been sending requests there and talking to people all over the world. Just before I hand back to Gary there, Eileen, Sean and Ellen Nixon in Peterborough, and Donald, Debbie, Daniel, Brendan and Liam, Jamie, they're out in Australia. Mark Drummond played in goal for Sneem for many years, and he's living out in Auckland. He's listening in. And Kitty and Kevin Molyneux Linksna are celebrating their 60th anniversary today. And there's loads and loads during the match. We'll be talking about that. But at the end of the day, Alan, it's very difficult to know. But the closer we come to the throw-in, the more I'm leaning towards Kerry.
Okay. As we all are, Weezy, hopefully with the way the outcome is going to pan out now between now and 5 o'clock. Gary, I'll sign off for the moment. We have about a 4 minute ad break. I'll come back for a quick chat to you and then hand over officially for commentary at about 25 past. Okay.
Okay, Alan, that's fine.
Good stuff. Gary O'Sullivan there, your match commentator today, and analysing the action as always with him is Weezy Fogarty, live from Croke Park. The countdown continues. It's just coming up to 12 minutes past three. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the boys, and then I'll officially hand over for our All-Ireland final commentary. Kerry against Cork, throw in at 3:30. We're going to go back to Croke Park now to Gary and Weezy. Gary, the cameras seem to be picking up Kieran O'Connor there. Has there been any more word now since on the Ray Carey issue?
Yeah, well, we're just watching the big screen here, Alan, and it has come up that that Ray Carey is not playing, that Kieran O'Connor wearing number 17. So that has just come up on the big screen now to our left. So we're presuming that is a fact now, that Kieran O'Connor is in. He looked to be carrying his billies here with us as well. He's not on microphone, but he was just speaking to me there, and he looks as if he was carrying his shoulders, his hand on the way out. It looked to be sort of a shoulder injury, I think, for Ray Carey. So yeah, Kieran O'Connor's in. He won't weaken the cause anyway, and he's a good cornerback, that guy.
Good stuff. Weezy, just earlier on there, your very good friend and neighbour Ambrose O'Donovan was honoured with the 84 team. It was a great day for Ambrose. He's obviously a man we'll be catching up a little bit later on with Billy, but a huge honour for Ambrose, 25 years commemorating that great win.
Yeah, not alone is it a huge honour today, but it is a richly deserved honour, because I remember him distinctly in all those games that he played with Kerry around the middle of the field, and he played with the legendary, the great Jack O'Shea, of course. But you'd often say to yourself, would Jack O'Shea have been as great in those matches if Ambrose hadn't been playing with him? It's as simple as that, because a great midfielder is made by his partner, and even today now you'll see Dar O'Shea and you'll see Seamus Scanlon with him, and Seamus Scanlon, partners to great players, are vital, because it's the likes of Ambrose O'Donovan and it's the likes of Seamus Scanlon and all those who do the hard work up and down the field and do the hard tracking. A great honour, of course, for Ambrose today. And would you believe I remember distinctly the night that he was appointed captain for the team. I had the great honour and privilege of nominating him at a Killarney meeting when Dermot O'Donoghue, the Legion man, was dropped off the team, and we were told that Killarney had won the county championship. We were told that we were to appoint the captain from the Killarney team. We met in the Park Place Hotel, that's now demolished. We proposed Ambrose O'Donovan. It was seconded unanimously, and as the rest, as they say, Alan, the rest is history.
A 22-year-old, Weezy.
22 years, a remarkable achievement. But you must remember where he comes from. He comes from Guineguilla, he comes from very tough stock, he comes from an area where defeat, the word defeat, doesn't enter into the vocabulary. And anyone who has seen Guineguilla teams, and indeed I've seen Ambrose playing all his games with Guineguilla down through the years, and all those O'Donoghue Cups and everything that they won, and he was absolutely outstanding. He was without doubt in my mind one of the great midfielders that this county has ever produced.
That's a fantastic tribute, and I look forward to paying tribute myself when I talk to Ambrose a little bit later on, and of course catching up with Billy at the halftime break. We're going to take another break, lads. I'm going to be officially handing over to you the next time we speak, so you can stand by for that. I know the formalities are in progress there. The president is just arriving as we speak of both the country and of the organisation, and all that is ahead in the next few minutes. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with plenty more, handing over officially to the lads in Croke Park for commentary of today's All-Ireland final, Kerry against Cork. We just can't wait for it.
Radio Kerry, live from Croke Park for the All-Ireland football final, in association with Billy Nocton, main Volvo dealer, Mile High Tralee.
Thanks very much, Alan. Welcome back to Croke Park on All-Ireland Senior Football Final Day, one of the biggest days in the sporting calendar. And Kerry and Cork are marching behind the Artane band, right in front of a packed Cusick stand at the moment. Let's run through the sides. Kerry, no changes. In Dermot Murphy's in goal. He's the insurance clerical officer with three All-Ireland medals. Mark O'Shea, number two, the teacher, with also three All-Ireland medals. Tommy Griffin, the publican, has four All-Ireland medals at fullback. The guard, Tom O'Sullivan, is from Rathmore with four All-Ireland medals. At number five, the teacher from Angola, Tomás O'Shea, four All-Ireland medals for him. Three medals for Mike McCarthy, the draftsman, back at centre half, back from Kilcommon. And at number seven is the youngest man of the defence, Killian Young from Renard, the 22-year-old bank official with two All-Ireland medals. The great Dara O'Shea from Angoiltacht, age 34, the auctioneer with five All-Ireland medals, is at number eight. His partner is the fitter from Curragh, age 27, and Seamus Scanlon with two All-Ireland medals. At 10, Finucane's Paul Galvin, the teacher, with three All-Ireland medals to his credit. On at number 11, from Piercing Andromeda, Declan O'Sullivan, the sales rep, with also three All-Ireland medals. And the GA coach with Ty Kennelly. Number 12 from Listowel Limits, hoping to win his first All-Ireland Senior Football Medal. Colm Cooper from Crokes is at 13, the bank official. He's got three All-Ireland medals in his pocket. Tommy Walsh from Kerins O'Rahilly's, the 21-year-old student, is at full forward with one All-Ireland medal so far. And at 15, from Dembe Glencar, the bank official, Darren O'Sullivan, with two All-Ireland medals to his credit. For the record, the substitute, Ger Reedy of Castle Island Desmond's, Aidan O'Mahony of Rathmore, Dunica Walsh of Cremorne, Brian Sheehan of St. Mary's, Michal Quirk of Kerins O'Rahilly's, Paul O'Connor of Kinmare, Paul de Greedy of Scartaglen, David Moran of Kerins O'Rahilly's, Anthony Maher of Douai, Sean Sullivan of Cremorne, Daniel Bohan of Austin Stacks, Kieran Donaghy of Austin Stacks, Aidan O'Shea of Glenbeg Glencar, Morris Corrigan of Finucane, and Barry John Welsh of Kerins O'Rahilly's. One change for Cork, and gone is Ray Carey, and in is Kieran O'Connor. Alan Quirk in goal, Kieran O'Connor, Michael Shields and Anthony Lynch, John Miskela, Graham Canty and Noel O'Leary, Alan O'Connor and Nicholas Murphy in the middle of the field, Paul Kerrigan, Pierce O'Neill and Paddy Kelly in the half forward line, Daniel Goulden, Colm O'Neill and Dunica O'Connor. That's the full forward line. The sun has gone a missing from us here in Croke Park. Marty Duffy is the man in the middle of the field. He'll play an important role as well. David Goldrick and Joe McQuillan are his linesmen, and his umpires, Michael Duffy, John Kilgannon, Paul Cawley, Pat Cawley and Michael Kelly. The scene is set. Next we'll hear will be the Artane Boys Band playing the national anthem, Aura on Aveen. The scene is set, Guishi, what promises to be a great day of football.
Yes, and the big battle, the one that's going to decide it, in my view, will be Anthony Lynch marking Colm Cooper. If Anthony Lynch holds Colm Cooper like he did in the two previous games, Kerry will be in trouble. I expect Colm Cooper to explode in Croke Park today and to shrug off those two matches that he had against Anthony Lynch. In my view, Anthony Lynch and Colm Cooper could decide his final.
Well, I think we're just about ready for the playing of Aura on Aveen. Yes, indeed, Aura on Aveen is next up. So, 83,000 people stand to attendance for the playing of the 2009 National Anthem. Just got the thumbs up over to our colleagues in Cork Radio, John Fintan Daly as well, and Paddy Palmer over there. We wish him the very best of luck as well. Now, the big thing is, where will Kerry line out? I predict that Declan Sullivan will go in the 40, I think, or going at full forward. I think Ty Kennelly might go to the 40, maybe Darren Sullivan on the wing, Weeshie, and Tommy Welch at corner forward. Is that where it's going to be?
You'll see a lot of switches around, Gary, really. They'll be switching in and out and up and down as the game goes on. And Declan has gone in full forward, yes, just as you said there, and Ty Kennelly's gone out centre forward. But they'll be switching and trapping around as the game goes on. Alan Myers and his girlfriend Emily are listening in the game in Switzerland, and this comes from your parents in Killarney. So to all the internet listeners, Gary, we send them the best wishes.
We do indeed, and we have plenty of them, and we'll be giving you mentions throughout the day. Marty Duffy ready to throw the ball in. We're actually about 2 minutes before Tapestry. Yes, indeed, it's as you are in midfield. Alan O'Connor and Nicholas Murphy against Darrow Shane, Seamus Scanlon. We're ready for the starts. Hold on to your hats. The roller coaster has taken off in Croke Park. And straight away, the action has gone to a free for Kerry, a free for Cork, rather, in the middle of the field. And there's a Cork man stretched on the ground after 2 seconds.
There is indeed, Gary, and I say it's Nicholas Murphy. As far as I know, now we keep an eye on that. The ball was thrown in, and Nicholas Murphy was coming out with the ball, and Ty Kennelly, I think, came in, and Ty Kennelly connected with him. And do you know what? It was a dangerous enough tackle. We'll see what the referee is going to do here. You saw it yourself. What's your view of it?
Very dangerous tackle, and a high one from Ty Kennelly, and there's the referee calling him aside. I'm not quite sure. I don't think he is, because he probably would have taken action at this stage if he was. But Ty gets a welcome to Croke Park there from Alan O'Connor as well. He's on Dara O'Shea at the moment. Nicholas Murphy is back on his feet. So then, the first tackle goes in after just 2 seconds, and the Cork man is back on his feet, and it's a free to Cork captain Graham Canty.
Yeah, it isn't easy to put down a man 6'6", and I can tell you that Kennelly did come in alright, and Kennelly was the man, got away with it, no card, only a free.
Tom Sullivan wins the first ball for Kerry, plays it outside to Mark O'Shea. He gives it to his fellow man from West Kerry, Tommy Griffin. Tommy Griffin now plays it outside to Dara O'Shea. First touch from Dara. He is on Nicholas Murphy now. He's back on his feet. Dara with a lovely safe pass across to Tom Sullivan. Puts him running, but there's no Corkman there, so it's safe enough. Kerry now, in the opening 10 minutes, if you remember, they totally blistered at Dublin. Can they do this to Cork? That's the big question. Ty Kennelly keeps it in place, soccer style, but into the hands of a Corkman inside there at a cornerback, and that is Michael Shields, who's left the fullback position, and he comes out rather easily. Declan O'Sullivan is after him. Shields loose the ball. Declan O'Sullivan pushes him free to Cork.
Yeah, and a great run by Shields. He came right out of the fence there, came up to the halfway line. Declan Sullivan came after him, tripped in, free in for Cork. Cork are settled looking. Kerry, it is early days yet. We'll see who's going to get the first score.
Nicholas Murphy gathering the ball now. Quick free taken. Murphy drives it inside now to Dunnock O'Connor. He's on Tom Sullivan. Dunnock O'Connor still soling with the right, hopping the ball still. Still Dunnock O'Connor being pushed out all the time by Tom Sullivan. He's gone outside the 45. The run is made by the centre fielder Alan O'Connor. Gets away from Seamus Scanlon. Tight angle. Alan O'Connor looking for the first score, but that's gone right and wide.
Yeah, Alan O'Connor will be very disappointed with that. Dunnock O'Connor got the ball, sold 2 or 3 dummies, passed the ball to Alan O'Connor, and the St. Columbus man turned around, kicking into the canal goal here in a packed Croke Park in this All Ireland final. And he kicked it very badly wide in his own side. O'Connor will be very disappointed. I'd put that down as a bad wide.
Well, so much at stake. Remember the last time Kerry won the All-Ireland, it was 2 years ago, 2007. Who did they beat in the final? They beat Cork. Lost last year. They've been in 6 All-Ireland finals in a row. Kerry have. Can they win another All-Ireland? Cork haven't won one in 19 years. That's another free in to Cork, just inside the 45-metre line. This could be the opening score.
Yeah, Marty Duffy's not going to be leaving much go today. Probably he should have let go to his early days for the referee yet. But this is just inside the 45-metre line. And it would definitely, without a shadow of doubt, Pearce O'Neill was going through there. A little pull in the jersey. And he could have left and go, but he's given the free in. But Cork at the moment, looking, it is very early days, let me say, but looking that little bit sharper at the moment. Very early days.
Well, it was Tomás O'Shea that pulled the jersey there of Paul Kerrigan. The free is by Dunnock O'Connor, just inside the 45-metre line. Not a puff of breeze here in Croke Park in Dublin. This is the kick from O'Connor. Is it the opening score? It is indeed. 3 minutes and 13 seconds gone, and Cork lead 1-0.
Yes, indeed. And the man from Ballydesmond, the man from just across the border, the Kerry border, just inside the 45-metre line, he came up and he kicked that ball absolutely beautiful, and it just sailed beautifully. Dermot Murphy, the big goalkeeper from Dingle, looked up and watched it sailing over the bar at the canal end. Cork are gone ahead. One point to no score, and just three and a half minutes gone.
Now this kick out will be interesting. The first kick out for Dermot Murphy. Will he go to his right or to his left or down the middle? Slightly to the left. Dara O'Shea will jump high with his man. The break is got by Mike McCarthy. Good run. He did a run very similar to this, which got a goal for Dublin, or got a goal against Dublin. Ty Kennelly with his first shot at the post, and Ty Kennelly, the man that has come back all the way from Australia to try and win a medal, has got the first score for Kerry.
Yeah, and great work by Mike McCarthy there, and went up to Ty Kennelly. Ty Kennelly, the man from Listowel, his late father Tim Kennelly is looking down on him today. He won his All-Ireland medals here, and Ty Kennelly, oh, from just inside the 45 metre line, floated the ball over the bar at the Hill 16 win. The scores are level, and Kerry got very loose for that. There was loose men all over the place,
and a great run by Mike McCarthy, which made it all. It's towards his general direction again, and he breaks it well from Pearce O'Neill, gathered nicely by Seamus Scanlon. Back to Paul Galvin. Is that his first touch? It might be, after 4 minutes. Paul Galvin out to Tomás O'Shea. High ball for Tomás O'Shea for Declan O'Sullivan, who's left the full forward back. Well held by Declan. He'll take on that man. That's the new man, Kieran O'Connor. Declan Sullivan going through. Declan Sullivan is being pulled. The referee gives it the advantage. Referee still watching the play. Touch on the ground, maybe by Declan. Ray Anson, the referee, coming out with it. We see John Miskell.
Yeah, but Declan got that ball. That was great covering by the Cork defence. Declan went right through there, and there was men surrounding him. He fell, passed the ball out, and away come Cork again. Cork are very fast in the break.
Anthony Lynch made a great shoulder from the captain, Darren Sullivan. Cork at the ball back. It's Noel O'Leary, the man from Gahanna. What's his occupation? He's a tree doctor, would you believe it, or a wood doctor, something like that. Paul Galvin picks it up. Dara O'Shea to Killian Young. Killian Young, the youngest man of the defence here. Killian to another young man, Darren Sullivan. Here's Tom Sullivan. He's got a few years on Darren. Darren gets it again, the captain. Will he bring the cup back to Glenbey? That's the big question. Conor Conan tells his troops, get in on him, and Bunch, and get in on him. They haven't done it so far, but a poor kick from Darren Sullivan, and it's mopped up here nicely by Cork again, and they come once again up to the back to Graham Canty. Now the ball driven long inside here by John Miskell at the Garda. Good running inside there, and that is got by Dunnock O'Connor, the man from Ballydesmond, very close to the Cork Kerry border. Again Mark Shea, slight tug of the jersey. Paul Galvin goes back. Good work by Paul Galvin. Ball has gone loose. Tom Sullivan nips in, and Mike McCarthy, great defending by Kerry.
Great defending by Kerry, and Tom Sullivan came out and cleared that ball there. Dunnock O'Connor looked good there turning around, but wonderful defending by Kerry. Kerry break away again. Kennelly on the ball.
Kennelly looks so comfortable. He's learned so much since he's got rid of that oval ball, and now he's concentrating on the round ball. Long ball for Tommy Welch. He slipped as he got it. It'll go into the hands of Alan Quirk, and Alan Quirk will play the ball out comfortably enough. Was there steps by Michael Shields? Well, the referee gave him the benefit of the doubt, and out comes the captain from Bantry. That's Graham Canty. Graham Canty transfers it on to Kerrigan. That's Paul Kerrigan. Kerrigan drives it low inside. Good running again. Tom Sullivan got a great hand in there on Daniel Goulding. Tom Sullivan has won every ball that's gone into him in the opening 6 minutes, and he's setting the tone there.
Yes, because he just came out, Gary, got in the hand, absolutely beautiful. That's absolutely superb play by Tom Sullivan.
And Declan Sullivan does well against Kieran O'Connor. Referee says play on. They're both pulling the ball. Here's Killian Young all the way up from defence. Killian will play out again, but he plays it into the hands of Nicholas Murphy, and it's a very nervous start for both sides here in Croke Park. Cork come again. Dara O'Shea is shouting out instructions. Cork with the long ball driven in by Kelly. Kelly drives it long, but he drives it left and wide.
Oh, that was a very bad ball by Paddy Kelly. He'd be very disappointed to hear that. I met his father, Johnny Kelly, down in the Gresham this morning. His father played with Ratmore way back in the 60s. And that was a very, very bad ball by Johnny Kelly. He came down, he'd no one in front of him, and he just ballooned the ball in, and it went nowhere, really. Very poor ball. The scores are level, 1 point each. It's very nervous. It's like a game of drafts. It's like a game of Ludo. It's like a game of snakes and ladders. They're all onto each other, and they're all over the place, each other. Fascinating to see who's going to win it.
7.5 minutes gone, a point apiece here in Croke Park. If you've just joined us, on the ball now is Cullum O'Neill from Ballyclaw. Turns on the left and lands a beauty. Cullum O'Neill makes it 2-1 to Cork.
Oh, an absolutely beautiful point by Cullum O'Neill. Beautiful left footed kicker. He came out to the verge of the big D. He turned around, got that ball, and turned around, and all in one lovely flowing movement. And with his left leg, he had one look at the post just in front of the canal end, and he split the post right down the centre. Cork go ahead, looking good at the moment, 2-1. Cork looking a little bit better at the moment.
Jack O'Connor sitting with his selectors. Conor Conan is on his own on the sideline. Jack is sitting, Conor isn't. Ball is broken into the hands of Paddy Kelly again. Patrick Kelly, Paul Galvin trying to get the ball back for Kerry. Tom Sullivan has read it well this time ahead of Daniel Goulding, and safely he'll transfer it on to Seamus Scanlon. Seamus Scanlon now gives it to Tomás O'Shea, takes a little bit of a step back and judges himself, and great running by Ty Kennelly. He's carrying Graham Canty all over Croke Park so far. Kennelly with a low ball inside for Cullum Cooper. Was he pushed by Anthony Lynch? The man wearing the black from Sligo says he was not, and Kerry didn't get
it. And
anything.
That was the very first ball that went in between Lynch and Cooper. I spoke about it before. That's going to be a vital contest between the two of them, and the ball is cleared by Cock down the field.
John Miskela plays it on now to Nicholas Murphy. Nicholas Murphy coming through the middle. This will be driven long inside again, and the Cork forwards are busy, and Daniel Goulding transfers it on to Kelly. Padraig Kelly, Killian Young has him tipped into a nice corner. It's curling and it's looking. Yes, it is. What a kick from near the sideline from Patrick Kelly.
That's a beautiful kick by Patrick Kelly, the Ballincollig man. His father, as I say, came from Rathmore. His mother came from the Cork side of the border. He was a dean to that beautiful move, and he turned around with the right leg. We had a beautiful view of it from where we are up in our commentary position here, and it curled beautifully over the bar. I'm repeating myself again. Cork looking better, looking fresher, looking that little bit fitter and more composed, let me add.
Kerry trail by 2 points here now. Darrow Shale check his stride for this, tried to field it, wasn't able to get it. Graham Canty wins the break. So far the breaks have gone the way of the Cork side. Low ball, will it be Mark O'Shea's? It won't. Donnacho Connor gets out ahead of him, pulled to the ground by Paul Galvin. Paul acknowledged it was a high one, he says, ref, but it wasn't a malicious one, and I think Marty Duffy is agreeing with him.
Ah, he is indeed. That wasn't malicious at all. It was more awkward than anything. It was definitely a foul, there's no doubt at all about it, but it was a bad foul, and Marty Duffy there, he's not going to pull the that's good, sensible refereeing, because it wasn't really.
Well, a poor kick inside. Oh, no, it can be that poor. It's a goal for Cork. Oh, my word. Nicholas Murphy drove it in. We see Colm O'Neill between Tommy Griffin and Dermot Murphy. None of them dealt with it, and a goal for Cork.
Well, Gary, I just have to say, five seconds ago, that long ball came in there, and Colm O'Neill got completely away from his man, Tommy Griffin, and he turned around with the left leg. He rattled the ball. A wonderful kick by him with his left leg, giving Dermot Murphy no chance whatsoever. And I repeat myself, Cork are looking better, they're looking sharper, and they're looking fitter. I said it after a couple of minutes.
Kerry will have to answer questions in that piece of defending. That was not good enough. And Colm O'Neill is causing problems at full forward in this early stages. We're gone 10 minutes and Cork lead here by 5 points, and they're rampant at the moment. Tom Sullivan has to make this one, and he does. He leaves his man. But the exception of Tom Sullivan, this Kerry defence looks dodgy.
That was very bad defending there by the Kerry fullback Tommy Griffin. He left his man get away from him blindside completely.
Darren Sullivan out to Paul Galvin in space. Can Kerry respond? Still Paul Galvin, nobody on him. He's plenty of time. Oh, that's a great block. Paul Galvin be disappointed with that. That's a good block by Kieran O'Connor. He has the ball back again. He needs to get out of this angle now. High one for Tommy Walsh. First high one inside. Back there goes Nicholas Murphy. Also Paddy Kelly is back there. Tommy Walsh wins the ball. The ref is miles away from it at the moment. Tommy Walsh frees himself. I don't know how, but he has. Outside now to Killian Young. Killian gives it to Ty Kennelly. Ty sells the dummy once. Plays it back. The poor one to Killian. Would it the scraps, and they are scrapping. Kerry have it back. Killian outside to Dara. Dara now drives it long and high. Poor one from Dara O'Shea. Right into the hands of a Corkman.
And there's great defensive play by Cork. Close, continuous coverage. Gary, they're not fouling. The big thing is the Cork defence are not fouling Kerry, and Kerry are moving poorly. Cork are looking the better team at the moment. They're looking fresher and they're looking more composed, and they're moving better at the moment.
The moment they're coming out of the defence way better, but Mark Shea does well over there to get it ahead of Donnacha Connor. Tries to chip it up to himself. Now is the side the safest thing is to go down for it. That's what he does. He's gone inside the 45 metre line. Still Mark Shea. Always good to get a score in an All-Ireland final. Mark plays it outside again too. Who's that? That looks to be Declan, is it? It is indeed. This now is Seamus Scanlon. Scanlon to Cullum Cooper. Getting away from 1-2 men, going through, losing the ball and winning a free-in. And that's a welcome free-in for Kerry.
Yeah, Cullum Cooper's very first touch of the ball in this All-Ireland 2009 final against Cork. And he was at the end of that lovely passing movement. He was going through, he was trailing dummies. There was three defenders came across, but they chopped him, they pulled him, they dragged him and they pushed him. And down he went. Free-in, says Marty Duffy. This will be an easy tip-over free. Cork are leading 1-3 to 1 point. There's 12 minutes gone in this All-Ireland final.
Cullum Cooper. keeper to take this one. Usually he popped this one over the bar just outside the about 30, 35 yards out from goal in front of the post as he strikes into Hill 16. And Colm Cooper gets his first score of the All-Ireland final. 12, 13 minutes gone. It's Cork 1-3. It's Kerry 2 points.
Colm Cooper, the top scorer for Kerry this year with 100 with one goal and 28 points. Added another point there off that free. That's 29 for Colm Cooper. But Cork looking that little bit better. There's a long ways to go, Dad. It's a fascinating game, like a game of drafts. 1-3 to 2 points.
The kick out now coming once again from Alan Quirk. Alan Quirk drives it out to the middle of the field. Pearse O'Neill and Mike McCarthy will go high. Seamus Scanlon does very well to break it down to himself, and Tomás O'Shea nips in to get the break. Tomás now, the high ball not working at the moment. Tommy Welch grabs it and holds on to it. Needs to get away from his man. Does. Still Tommy Welch having a right battle with Michael Shields. He's on the 45. He looks up. Tommy Welch hand passes it inside for Colm Cooper. He's got away from Anthony Lynch. Back goes Miskela. Was he pushed to the ground? Yes, he was. It's another free in, and Colm Cooper has won the second one.
Yeah, Colm Cooper has won the second one. What happened there? Anthony Lynch came out, and Anthony Lynch just went for the ball in front of his man, and he missed it. But Miskela came across, and he definitely, I thought myself, it was a foul. All right, Gary, this will be another easy tip over for you here for Colm Cooper. But Anthony Lynch tried to get out in front of him. He made a mistake, really.
He'd have to take this one with the right leg, though. He wouldn't chance this in a million years with the left. Usually, Colm's right is as good as his left. He's right in front of the post for this one, and he strokes it over. Now, so 14 minutes and 14 seconds. It's 1-3 to Cork. It's 3 points to Kerry.
Yes, indeed. And Father Xavier Lovett of Kilmiley, he's a great GA follower. He's listened to us out on the internet in Seattle. And Laura, Rebecca, and Emma, your grandnieces, and Karen and Tom. Father Lovett of Kilmiley, what a great name. Listen to us out there. We send you our best.
And our former colleague, Francis Fitzgibbon, I know he's listening with his friend Sandy Williams from camp, and they're out in Delhi in India. We wish you the best as well, folks. So far, not going too well for Kerry, though. Darren Sullivan wins the ball out in the middle of the field, gives it out to Colm Cooper. He's very, very near the sideline, way over in front of the Cusick stand, and there's four red jerseys around him, and he's gone out over the line. It's a line ball to Cork.
Yeah, Gary, it's a very tense game. It's like a game of drafts, as I say. They're all up on top of each other, and they're all, it's all that close marking, and they're all bunched around the middle of the field. It's very difficult for players. That Colm O'Neill goal is separating the teams. It's 1-3 to 3 points here in Croke Park. Absolutely brilliant conditions for a game.
Seamus Scanlon has Alan O'Connor pinned on the ground right in front of the nose of the linesman over in front of the Cusick stand. And Tomás O'Shea's pleading, or is it Mike McCarthy saying to us, touching the ground? What's the call? It's a hot ball.
It looks like, Gary, at the moment, that any of the teams that can get the ball into the full forward line the most might do the best.
Yes.
They're finding it difficult, aren't they, to
Darren
do that.
O'Shea breaks it down, but a Corkman was waiting for it and is driven in long now to Dunnock O'Connor, who gets out ahead of Mark O'Shea. Still Dunnock O'Connor. Kerrigan is making the run, coming up from the fence again now. Kerry are in the trouble. Pearse O'Neill has found himself in space. Where's Mike McCarthy gone? Darren Sullivan goes back. Now Mark Shea is trying to get the ball back for Kerry. Driven long for Goldie and Thompson. Tom Sullivan breaks it from Daniel Goulding. White ball. Tom Sullivan, to me, the best defender we've had so far.
No doubt at all about it. Not alone is he the best defender today, but he's having an absolutely superb game. That big high ball came in across the face of the goal. Tom Sullivan went up with his man, with Daniel Goulding. Maybe Tom Sullivan might have touched it out, Gary.
Yeah.
But the umpire, the man with the long white coat, he was standing there and he was the closest him wide.
Wide ball, checking the watch, 16 minutes gone. Kerry trail by 3 points here in this All-Ireland final. Battle again for midfield, and Seamus Scanlon is doing well enough, but he touched this one on the ground, says the referee from Sligo. It's quickly taken free, and again, Dunnock O'Connor. Cork are moving to quick freeze. That's how they got the last goal. Tom Sullivan again in Goulding. Knocked to the ground this time. The referee says to the man from Rathmore, that's a free into Cork, and it's in front of the goal.
Yeah, and Tom Sullivan came out, and I think he held up his hand in acknowledgement there. He was very, very close to his man. All right, Gary, they're playing an awful lot of ball into Colm O'Neill. He seems to be the target man, and they're dropping the ball just in front of him inside there. And Tom O'Sullivan came out, gave him a little bit of a push, a little bit of a nudge, and put him down. This will be an easy tip over free. Remember, Cocker kicking into the canal goal here at the packed Croke Park, and they lead 1-3 to 3 points in this 2009 all Munster final.
Just coming up to quarter to four. This should be an easy tip over free for Dunnock O'Connor. We're 17 and 14 seconds gone in the first half here. It's a 3 point lead for Cork, and this should be a 4 point lead. 1-3 to 3 points. Here he comes, about three runs up to it, and Dunnock O'Connor from Bally Desmond makes no mistake, and Cork lead by four again, we see.
Yes, indeed, Dunnock O'Connor over the bar again. Mary Diamond is listening, Albuquerque out in New Mexico, and that's all from the Griffin family in Ballymegillet. They're listening all over the world to us today, and the man from Bally Desmond, Dunnock O'Connor, came up, bang, bang, over the bar, 1-4 to 3 points. Cork nudging that little bit further ahead.
Here comes Dermot Murphy again with the kick out towards the middle of the field. It's for Darragh O'Shea, direction out for Ty Kennelly as well. But it's been won out there by Nicholas Murphy. So far he's won a lot of it. He touched that. I thought that went out off Nicholas Murphy, but the linesman said it didn't went out off the Kerry man. It's a line ball for Cork, just inside the 45-metre line and in front of the Hogan stand. And it's quickly taken up on to Paddy Kelly. Killian Young trying to get the ball back. The Kerry defence need to tighten up a little bit now. They're not competing 50-50 for ball. They're letting the Corkmen get the ball first, and then they're trying to kick them off them. That cost them the goal. Coming out with it now is Michael Shields. He's around the centre half-back position. Loose man on his shoulder all the time was Kieran O'Connor. Back now to Michael Shields again. Was going to punch it, decides to carry it on. This is a very good run by him. Drives it long inside. Should be Mark Shea's. Good working by the Ungeltic man. And Mark Shea looks up and gives it to the elder brother, Dara.
That was beautifully read by Mark O'Shea. Gary, I was watching it from up above. He read the ball superbly.
He did indeed. This ball now for Declan O'Sullivan, who's left foot forward. He sidesteps Kieran O'Connor with the outside of the right boot. Sprays it beautifully across the Cullum Cooper. And Anthony Lynch again gets a hand in there. And the referee says nothing wrong with it. And Cullum Cooper left in the ground. Lynch is winning the battle, we see.
Oh, he is, yeah. He threw himself full length there, got in his hand and broke the ball away. That was a wonderful interception by Lynch.
Pearce O'Neill drives it long inside for Cullum O'Neill. Tommy Griffin breaks it down nicely. That's much better now by Tommy Griffin. Much closer. Tom Sullivan picks it up and gives it to Dara. 19 minutes gone. It's 1-4-2 Cork. That's 7 points. It's 3 points to Kerry. Here goes Tomás O'Shea. Usually good for a point. High ball for Ty Kennelly. Ty Kennelly gives it back to Tommy Welch. And Tommy Walsh splits the post, but his first score from play, he did well coming on the semi-final. Great point by the Cairns Arachis.
Great point, and great run by Tomás O'Shea. The Celtic man came up along the far side, up in front of the Cusick stand, gave the ball to Ty Kennelly. Long, high, floating, diagonal ball. Ty Kennelly got the ball, turned around, gave it out to Tommy Welch. He could have shot himself, gave it out to Tommy Welch, and Tommy Welch with the right leg, he literally popped the ball over the bar. 1-4 to 4 points. A lovely flowing move. It's tense, it's close, and it's very, very tough out there.
The Kerry half forward line now is Darren Sullivan, Ty Kennelly, and Paul Galvin. He's playing at left half forward. Seamus Scanlon with a great catch. That's the first catch of the match after 19 and a half minutes. Long ball for Tommy Welch. He makes the hop his own. He judges it to perfection. Tommy Welch turning, twisting, and shooting. A brilliant score from Tommy Welch. 2 points in a minute.
Oh, that's an absolutely superb score by Tommy Welch, son of the great Shawnee Welch, because he got that ball, beat his man, turned around and came inside him, and with beautiful, he actually caught it with the one hand, would you believe? Lovely stuff. He has this wonderful knack of being able to catch the ball with one hand, keep off the man with the other hand, swing onto his right leg and pop the ball over the bar. Kerry are coming back, they've cut the gap. It's 1-4 to 5 points.
A great Valencia man is listening to us in San Francisco. Pacho Cooper, we send you your best, Pacho. Hope things are going well for you this afternoon. I know you're tuned in. Met a lot of your colleagues in the Gresham Hotel. They said to say hello. Darragh O'Shea was penalised for a push in the back. It's a free right near the sideline in front of the Hogan stand. It was quickly taken by Patrick Kelly. Cork again, building from the back now. And the man with the possession is Nicholas Murphy. Getting away from Darragh O'Shea. Plays it back to Noel O'Leary. Noel O'Leary, loose pass inside, but it might work out the way for Cork, and it has again. Kerry man pleading for a free. That was Paul Galvin. Now again, Tommy Griffin and Cullum O'Neill. 1-1 from play so far. Cullum O'Neill has got off Tommy Griffin. Can you make it 1-2? No, you can't. Left and wide this time.
Oh, that would have been a great point, but Cullum O'Neill ran out, got the ball in front of Tommy Griffin and turned around with the right leg, went for the point from a very difficult angle and just swung the ball over the bar there. They're listening to us out there in Melbourne. Cahill Braston from Lisbon, and they're tuned in, and all his Lisbon friends are listening. The late Liam Higgins would be happy with that because they're all listening in, out there, all the Lisbon people gathered together. It's 1-4 to 4-5 points here. Cork leading the kingdom.
David Murphy, high goes Dara. That's catch number 2 for the kingdom, and Dara gets it, gives it to Paul Galvin, back to Killian Young, but a very loose pass by Killian Young, and by doing that, Seamus Scanlon had a foul of his man. That pass wasn't done at all.
That
by
pass
Young.
Wasn't done at all. And the thing about a game like today is you cannot make a mistake out there if you give a bad pass. But in fairness, it's a very clean game.
It is,
Marty,
yeah.
Duffy's having no problem with it whatsoever. It's very clean, but a lot of people were saying, would Kerry be gone away from Cork after 10 minutes? They're not, there's 22 minutes gone, and they're behind now.
And a high ball again for Cullum O'Neill, who beats Tommy Griffin, but Griffin comes from nowhere and grabs it from him and gives it now to Mike McCarthy. Haven't seen much of the Kerry half backline attacking now, so maybe Killian Young with open country, and away he goes, the man from Renard. Still Killian Young out to his left to Tommy Welch. Is he going for point number 3? Nice little pass. Oh, that's too long by Tommy Welch. He was caught in both minds there, which he didn't know what to do.
Yes, indeed, but going back, that was a wonderful interception by Tommy Griffin there, the Dingle man. I don't know how he got that ball. The ball came in, Cullum O'Neill seemed to have it. But Tommy Griffin appeared from nowhere and the ball seemed to stick onto his hands. He went up the hole into the field. Tommy Welch got the ball, tried to play it into Colm Cooper, but the ball went away from him and it hopped out over the line just a little bit wide. Wonderful play by Tommy Griffin.
Absolutely. 23 minutes gone here in Croke Park. It's 1-4 to Cork. It's 5 points to Kerry. That goal so far, the difference between the sides. The kick out again from midfield and again Seamus Scanlon. There was a tug in the jersey by Alan O'Connor. Well spotted by Marty Duffy. Very good refereeing. Paul Galvin takes the quick free and away goes Declan Sullivan. He leaves the blocks quickly. He hasn't scored yet. He's pulled and dragged. Won the free. He knew the free was coming.
Yes, indeed he did. No doubt at all about it. Paul Galvin got that ball and turned around and went to go for the goal. He was pulled and he was dragged. But Marty Duffy, the referee, he hasn't issued any yellow card yet. Not even a black book. Refereeing very, very, very sensibly. And this will be an easy tip over free again. Kerry coming more and more back into it. The last 5 or 6 minutes now, the Kerry half-back line have been coming forward. They've been attacking. And Kerry are finding their passes better. They're finding more open spaces and they're getting more of the ball in. They're looking much, much better as the Gooch is going to pop this over.
He should in front of the post about 25 yards out. And Colm Cooper puts 1 point between the sides. It's 1-4 to Cork. That's 7. It's 6 points to Kerry.
Yes, indeed. And Kerry coming more and more into it. Remember this, that goal by Colm O'Neill after about 6 minutes played, just when he turned around and he crashed the ball past Dermot Murphy at the canal in there. But Kerry coming, midfield has been kind of a negative out completely, Gary,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Colm Cooper's got 131 so far. Darrow Shea in. Paul Galvin goes in and wins the dirty ball, as they call it. Well won by Galvin. Low for Declan now. He decided to leave full forward. He's fouled again by Kieran O'Connor. And with the way this is going, Kieran O'Connor could get a yellow card. Declan with a high one inside for Colm Cooper. He's got inside Anthony Lynch. He has the ball on the ground. He's trying to bury his way through. Lynch is keeping him out. Still Colm Cooper plays the ball outside now to Darren Sullivan. The captain will turn on the right. He'll turn the left. Back to Ty Kennelly. Is this level? Ty Kennelly, oh, he's missed a glorious chance right in front of the post. I don't know how he put that wide.
Oh, that was a great opportunity by Ty Kennelly. He was at a bit of a difficult angle for a man of his kicking abilities, I suppose. A high ball went in and it went over Anthony Lynch's head. Colm Cooper got it. Colm Cooper, Anthony Lynch kept him outside. Cooper was on the inline, couldn't get inside. Pass it around to Dan O'Sullivan. And the captain from Glenbeg and Carr passed it out to Ty Kennelly. And Ty, you'd imagine it was an easy pop over free, but it wasn't, because Mary Kinney and her son Kieran from the Mill Road, they're living in Florida, and Eileen is in Edinburgh. They're listening to us out there, and that ball was wide.
The ball was wide, and Tyke shakes his head up to the sky and says, I should have got that, and he knows he should, but he'll get that out of his system, no doubt, with the professional man that he is. What a fairy tale it would be if he came back from Australia after being 9-10 years out there to win the one medal he doesn't have. Well, he hasn't got it yet, and Tomás O'Shea has tried to grab the ball for Kerry, and he has it in front of Paul Kerrigan. On the bust is the brother Mark, and away goes Mark O'Shea. Clean country again in front of him. Mark O'Shea gone well now into Cork territory. Declan O'Sullivan calling for the ball, claiming it and getting it. Declan on the 45, lovely pass to the Gooch. Get away on the bus is Paul Galvin. Paul Galvin with the kick. Paul Galvin with the punch, in actual fact. And he punched it wide.
Yeah, because the two defenders came right up top of him. A great move, a wonderful move by Kerry. Colm Cooper was at the end of it, passed the ball to Paul Galvin, and Paul Galvin was going right through. It would appear maybe for a minute that the goal was opening up, but it was a lovely pass by Colm Cooper. Paul Galvin went right in, the two backs came across, and he went to punch it, Gary, and really it was good defending by Cork, in fairness.
He probably had an extra step taken.
I wouldn't put it down to miss by Paul Galvin. No. I'd put it down to good defensive there by Cork.
Absolutely, yeah. He knew he couldn't release the leg to kick it, he had to punch it, but he punched it wide into a colourful hit.
Kerry coming more and more into it now, getting a lot of position, and now they're looking the far better team.
9 minutes from half time, and Kerry trail by 1 point, and Pearse O'Neill, the man who's got relatives in Renard, well, I don't think they're backing him this afternoon. They're probably backing their own man, Killian Young. Here goes Noel O'Leary once again meeting Paul Galvin. In fact, it was Graham Canty. Paul was touched on the ground by Alan O'Connor. It's a free out to Kerry.
Yeah, that's a good free for Kerry there, because Alan O'Connor touched the ball when he got up. He was being pulled and dragged. I thought it was going to be a free from Cork, but he picked the ball clean off the ground. Referee doing an excellent
job.
Now,
Declan Sullivan taking on Kieran O'Connor. Declan O'Sullivan has the beating of Kieran O'Connor. He's winning every ball and he's going again, and it loosens it for him. Is this the leveller? Yes, it is. Declan O'Sullivan from Drummond Pearce's has the sides level. Declan is a trump card so far, we see.
That's an absolutely superb point by Declan O'Sullivan. What a superb player he is. He's winning every single ball that goes up to him. The low ball in particular has gone in beautifully. Got that ball, turned around. As the fella said, he shrugged off two or three tackles, came back in his trusty right leg and kicking into Hill 16, where it's a sea of red and green and gold, put the ball over the bar. The sides are level, there's 27 minutes gone, it's 1-4 to Cork, 7 points of the kingdom.
Now if Kerry can get more ball into Declan O'Sullivan, he has the beating of Kieran O'Connor. Mike McCarthy breaks it down to Dara to his midfield partner Seamus Scanlon, back to Mike McCarthy, the man who's come back from retirement, plays it outside again to Dara O'Shea. He's in the right half back position, into the middle to his younger brother Mark, and away they build for the back. Now Kerry defence have tightened up much more and they're much more confident coming out of defence. Mark O'Shea slips and he got a couple of wallops while he went down. One was from Dunnock O'Connor and it's a free to Kerry.
Yeah, Mark O'Shea came up with that ball there, Gary. He was going to come through. He was soling up with the ball. He got a little tip all right from one of the Cork defenders. He went down. That's the foul, no matter what way you look at it. And when he was down, then he got a few more tips, and Marty Duffy was right up alongside it. But Kerry now, their experience now is telling. They're holding the ball. They're very composed. They're running into position. They're a better team at the moment than Cork, and looking much better.
And a great call by Marty Duffy. I kept my eye on it. Colm Cooper made a run, and Anthony Lynch pulled his jersey 20 yards out from goal and he's getting a yellow card. Yep. That is brilliant refereeing by Marty Duffy, a black book.
I watched it happening. Lucky he didn't get a yellow card because he's been big, big trouble. But Marty Duffy, good refereeing by him. We mentioned about earlier on, he's doing an excellent job. Kerry are going to go ahead there. The big long high ball came in and it was Anthony Lynch who was holding Colm Cooper, and Cooper is going to top this over. He's on his frees today, left and right. This is an easy tip over free for Colm Cooper.
Now that was one of the frees that had back would try and get away, a sneaky sort of a free, but Marty Duffy spotted it and he knew that Colm Cooper made the run. He pulled the jersey and he said free, and he bought the ball up 40 yards and Colm Cooper for the lead for Kerry. It's the first time in the 2009 final that Kerry have led, and we lead now Ishi by 1 point.
Yes, and it's probably the first time that they have led Cork in the three games
probably
since the series began. And Kerry now looking very, very good at the moment. We're only talking about what we see unfolding in front of us. Kerry looking a far superior team than Cork at the moment.
At the moment. Now, 6 minutes to half time. Kerry 8 points, Cork 7 points. Out they go again. Killian Young goes high with his man, and Paul Galvin wins the break. And on his left shoulder is Tadhg Kennelly, if he can give it to him. Paul Galvin says, "Will I give it to you?" Yes, he will. Now Tadhg freeing himself up, turning, looking at the post, shooting. Is this another one for Kennelly? It is. That makes up for the one that he kicked wide. That's a glorious point from the man from Listowel.
Lovely point by Tadhg Kennelly, the man who came home from Australia, the only Irishman to win an Australian league medal out there. And it was Paul Galvin, the man from Finnoog, who punched the ball into Kennelly. Kennelly hopped the ball, went turned around, had a little look at the post, and with his right leg he came in. Kennelly's playing a great game. Kennelly, who's emulating his father and trying to emulate his brother Noel, who also won an All-Ireland medal. And it was Paul Galvin, the man from Finnoog, who's picking up all the breaking ball. Lovely point. Kerry gone ahead 1-4 to 9 points.
5 points, 5 minutes to half time. Mike McCarthy goes high and breaks it from Pearce O'Neill. Graham Canty tries to go back and gets the break. Tadhg Kennelly wants to put him out on the line, well, illegally, so he tried to put him out anyway. Kennelly is full of zip. He's really, really an important player we should have back playing for Kerry.
I tell you, Gary, he is, but he's a player, he's a professional, he's a professional. He's used to the big occasion. He played before crowds even bigger than this.
He did.
Tadhg Kennelly.
Sullivan goes high, ball is brimmed down to Dunnock O'Connor. This now is Daniel Goulding, hasn't scored yet, trying to get inside Tom Sullivan. Hard thing to do, but he's done it this time. That's a very good score by Daniel Goulding from Aer Óg, and there's one between them again.
Not alone is it a very good score, but it is an absolutely superb score. The way he got the ball, Tom Sullivan was keeping him outside. He was tempting him to come into his left leg, and he did come into his left. And Tom just went to block it down, slipped momentarily in front of the canal in here, and Goulding with the left leg cut the post. But that was a rare occasional attack by Cork, let me add.
4 minutes now to half time. Dara O'Shea tries to get out in front of his man. Got away with a slight nudge. Well done, Dara. A little bit of experience there. Mike McCarthy's in front of him. Nicholas Murphy's after him. Darren inside now to Declan. I'll mention it before and I'll mention it again. Declan has beaten his man now. In fact, they put Miskela on him. So Cork knew there was a threat there. Tomás O'Shea has the ball in front of the Cusick stand. He's about 30 yards out from goal. High ball inside looking for Colm Cooper. Tommy Welch, in actual fact, it is. But it's picked up inside there, I think, by Michael Shields. And Cork are working their way out. And this is definitely Noel O'Leary coming out with the ball. The man that was dismissed way back in the championship when they met before. Cork now coming again from the back, and really coming from the back, and Kerry need to try and stem the tide here. That's Michael Shields, who's come all the way up, the man from St Finbar's inside. Mark O'Shea goes high, needs to stop it from going out. Paul Galvin way back there helping out his defence, and plays it outside to Seamus Scanlon. 3 minutes to the half time break. Kerry now need to get this one out carefully. Killian Young, was he dragged by Paddy Kelly? Killian Young goes down for the ball. Eventually he won a free out. Pulling the jersey, said the ref.
Yes, indeed. But great work by Paul Gallivan. I was watching him there. He for that particular cock attack, Paul Gallivan, the Kerry wing forward, was back in front of his full back. And he cleared that ball on the end line in front of the canal end here. And there he was that far. Is that far back. He's playing all over the field, playing outstanding. But the Kerry defence have certainly come to grips at the moment with the cock attack.
And Paul Galvin has been marked by Noel O'Leary at the moment. And ball now is with Ty Kennelly again. This time Michael Shields is on him. Plays it into Mark Shea. This is his brother, Tomás O'Shea. Tomás drives it long for Cullum Cooper and Anthony Lynch. Usually Lynch would win it. Nudged by the Gooch. Got away with it. Still Cullum Cooper now. Taking on Anthony Lynch. First point from play. Is it from the man from Arshanabooli? No, just an inch to the left and wide.
Yes, just an inch to the left and wide. But that big high ball came in. Anthony Lynch got out in front of Cullum Cooper. Did he give him a little Seamus Darby there? A little nudge in the back. Maybe he just put him off. That's what Seamus Darby did to Tommy Doyle away back in 1982 when he scored the goal at that end there. But the Gooch got the ball, turned around with the left leg, just pulled the ball wide. The score remains 1-5 to 9 points.
Kerry lead by 1 point and we have 1 minute to go to the half-time break. Jack O'Connor stands down on the sideline. Very, very serious looking at the moment. Why wouldn't he be? So too, Conor Coonan, his opposite number. Seamus Scanlon has won a world of breaks in the middle of the field. We haven't mentioned that yet either. Tomás O'Shea now going forward, getting the ball ahead of Paul Kerrigan. Tomás O'Shea has added to what he's got so far in the championship. Always great to get a score is the man from Anglethorpe.
Tomás O'Shea from Anglethorpe, and it was Seamus Scanlon who got that breaking ball in the middle of the field. He saw Tomás O'Shea tearing up the left wing, and Tomás O'Shea got the ball, hopped it once. He shrugged off his man, Paul Kerrigan, and he just, with the right leg, he curled the ball absolutely beautifully from just in front of Hill 16 over the bar. Beautiful point, Kerry lead. It's Kerry leading now by 10 points to 1 goal and 5 points and dominating around the middle of the field.
And there'll be 2 minutes of additional time, and we're almost on 35, so about 2.5 minutes left. Now, can Kerry do well and go in at full time? Go in at half time. Great catch by Tommy Griffin. Much better from the Dingle publican. He did very well there to get it ahead of Cullum O'Neill. And now it's Mark O'Shea to Seamus Scanlon. And Tomás back to Mark again. Much better by Kerry. Green and gold jerseys everywhere. Tom Sullivan, he got a point against Dublin. Here's Declan O'Sullivan. Declan from Drummond Pearce's. We met a man, Jack O'Connor's brother, Joe, below the Gresham. He said Declan will have a good game. So far, he's spot on. Declan is playing well. Out to Tom Sullivan. Tom Sullivan holding on to possession. Little bit of cuteness outside to Tomás O'Shea. Tomás on midfield. Low ball for Cullum Cooper. Another free in, and Anthony Lynch is disgusted with the referee, and Marty Duffy is calling him. This will be a yellow card for Lynch.
This will be a yellow card now, and this is going to put Anthony Lynch,
I'd love to see this replay,
big, big trouble, because if he gets a yellow card, it will mean, yeah, he's calling him over, Gary. We'll have to keep an eye on this. This is a big decision now, a vital decision, because a yellow card here will mean that Anthony Lynch is in big, big trouble. And the Cork crowd are booing the referee because the foul was committed completely. Yes, it's a yellow card. It was committed completely. You see what's happening now. Anthony Lynch and the Cork defence are going to get frustrated.
Yeah.
This is a very vital time for them now, because those little fouls off the ball, and when you're being caught, by the way, for them, it's very, very frustrating. This is another easy tip over free.
Oh, yeah.
And Anthony Lynch is in big trouble.
He's in trouble now. He'll have to behave himself. Right in front of the post, this is Cullum Cooper. If he closed his eyes and looked out towards Bantry Bay, he'll pop this one over. And he does. That is point number 5 for Cullum Cooper. And there's 1 minute to go, and Kerry lead by 3 points.
Yeah, well, the Cork defence now, they'll be questioning themselves at half-time when they go in about committing these needless fouls off the ball and giving away frees. I said at the start they weren't committing fouls, but they have changed that, and Anthony Lynch in particular, with Cullum Cooper, has been fouling him on a fairly consistent enough basis off the ball, but he's been caught by the referee, and that's a very bad one for him.
A half a minute left. Killian Young is fighting over there for possession. Cullum Cooper not leaving his man come out. This time the free goes against Cooper, and cheers come from the Cork supporters.
Ironic cheers,
and Darrow Shea says to Nicholas Murphy, get up off your backside. Murphy threw himself down the ground, and Darrow said, come on, get up, I didn't touch you. I'm not saying he did or he didn't, I didn't see. Paul Galvin though, touched Noel O'Leary, free to Noel O'Leary. The referee now is on 37. Can Kerry hold on now not to leave Cork in any more scores? Low ball inside. Tommy Griffin battling again with his man. That man is Colm O'Neill. We're in injury time. It's gone out for a 45 on the corner of the where the corner flag is. But if right is right, time is up and the 45 shouldn't be taken.
Well, Gary, it's good. He'll give him a chance. This will probably be the last kick of the half. Once again, it was great play by Tommy Griffin. He's having an outstanding game. After conceding that goal to Colm O'Neill earlier on in the game, he's tightened up considerably and he hasn't given O'Neill any space at all whatsoever. And that ball, he got out, got his boot to that ball and put it out just at the corner flag. This will be a very difficult one, and it's going to be Colm O'Neill who's going to take it. This would be some point, and it would be a very vital time for Cork going in at half time if he could put it over, because they trail 1-5 to Kerry's 11 points.
Well, but either way, what happens in this now, if this ball goes wide, it's half time. If it's broken in the air, if Kerry punch it out, surely it'll be half time, as long as they don't let a goal in now. That would be the danger. Tommy Griffin now is being called back by Dermot Murphy, and in fact Dermot wants Dara back on the line and Tommy Griffin to pick up Dara's man Nicholas Murphy. Now where's the man taking the 45? Here he comes. Colm O'Neill, a high ball inside. It's gathered inside by a Cork man. That's Daniel Goulding, pulled to the ground by three Kerry jerseys. Free in will be a score, and then we'll have half time, I presume.
Yeah, he was pulled down alright. That 45 went in and went into the verge of the square there, and it was
Daniel Goulding
got the ball there. Yeah, and he was surrounded alright, and the way the referee is reffing it now, Gary, the way he's reffing it now, he's giving fouls now for incidentals.
Yeah.
After Anthony Lynch's, this will be an easy tip over for you. After Anthony Lynch's pulling yellow card, he's after giving Cork a couple of soft ones.
And this is as soft as you'll get, and Daniel Goulding picks it over the bar, and we will have no more, I would think, in this first half. It's a 2-point game. It's 11 points to Kerry. It's 1-5 to Cork. The half-time whistle is gone. Still all to play for Weezy here in Croke Park.
Yeah, all to play for, and Cork will go in disappointed enough with that first half. I thought they started off tremendously well, and when they got that great goal from Colm O'Neill, they were motoring very well at that particular stage. However, Kerry came back into it, and for the remainder of the half, I thought myself that Kerry looked a far better team. The half-back line in particular were coming forward, they were linking up, and Kerry were getting a lot of the breaks around the middle of the field. Paul Gallivan and Seamus Gannon in particular getting the ball in, and those fouls off the ball on Colm Cooper by Anthony Lynch were absolutely vital. Tommy Welch's 2 points were absolutely superbly taken, and after conceding that early goal by Tommy Griffin to Colm O'Neill, he's after tightening up considerably.
He was disappointed to leave that goal in, Tommy.
He was, but Tommy Griffin now is playing outstanding work.
Yeah.
And the Kerry defence is after coming to grips with Cork. At the moment, Gary, you could be dissecting it and talking about it until the cows come home, but at the moment, Kerry are looking more composed. They're looking more experienced. They seem to know what they're doing more with Cork. There's more purpose in their play, and they're more relaxed than the ball. That's the way I see it at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, that's our call from the commentary. You'll be getting the views of Billy O'Shea and Ambrose O'Donovan at halftime here in just a few seconds. So, the halftime score in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final of 2009. Kerry lead by 2 points. It's Kerry 11. It's Cork 1-6. We'll take a break from Croke Park.
Weekend Sports on Radio Kerry. Your station.
So to Croke Park, joining me for analysis on the first half, we'll be catching up with Ambrose a little bit later on in the day, but for the moment, Billy O'Shea. Billy, your thoughts there on the first half, and after a very nervy start by both sides, it settled into a good, keenly contested affair that we were expecting.
Yeah, it certainly did, Ellen. I thought that Cork got up to a very good start. You know, they were very industrious in their play, and you know, I expected that from Cork, and I thought that if Kerry got the explosive start to this game, that they would be in with a great shout of winning the game. But in fairness, Cork were the ones that got off to a better start, and I feared for Kerry at that stage, because Cork have always been to the fore of all their championship matches to date, and given that, I thought that Kerry would find it very difficult to come back against them. Having said that, Kerry showed great character, great experience and great resilience in coming back, and you know, they were 1-3 to 1 point down. I said, look, this is looking dodgy, but they came back. And fair play to Paul Gallivan and Declan Sullivan. Tommy Griffin. Those three guys have really pulled Kerry out of what looked like falling down the black hole, as we call it.
Yeah.
They literally pulled themselves together, got stuck into the action. And you could throw Ty Kinnelly, I suppose, and make a quartet of those players. Because for me, those guys have really dug Kerry out of a hole and didn't leave Cork work on the advantage that they had at the start of the game. Because for me, at 1-3 to 1 point, I said, we're in trouble here. But thankfully they got out of it, and they're looking good, even though, Alan, they're not playing that well.
They're not playing that well, Billy. No,
they're not playing that well. I think that they haven't settled yet. And I think if Kerry can come out in the second half and settle as quickly as possible, they could, you know, they could do the business here today, because they're certainly up for it. They're showing great character, great resilience, and no panic. You know, at 1-3 to 1 point down, you know, most teams would panic and say, look, we're in trouble here, what'll we do? Most of it, as I said, that quartet that I mentioned earlier really took the game by the scruff of the neck and have put Kerry back into the prominent position that they're in at the moment. They're a point up, or sorry, they're 2 points up, 11 points to 1-6. If you told me that 15 minutes into the first half,
you would have taken it.
I would have, would I take it?
Hand and all.
Not a bother at all.
Billy, let's just talk about the goal for a minute. There was a needless free out the field conceded by Kerry, but Cork have a habit of doing this. The quick free puts the team on the defending team on the back foot, and Colm O'Neill mustn't have known the space he was given. Tommy Griffin and Diarmaid Murphy, their clubmates in Dingle, but it looks like they might have got their wires crossed there momentarily.
Yeah, I'd say it's just one lapse in concentration for one moment led to the Cork goal, and it was a pity for the simple reason that since then Tommy Griffin's game has improved no end. You know, he's really, really taken the game by the scruff of the neck, and he's put in a fine performance. We haven't seen anything of Colm O'Neill since, you know, since he got that goal. It was just one of those moments. He got a chance, he took it. It was a mistake, as you say, by both Diarmaid and by Tommy Griffin. I suppose you're gonna get situations like that too, Alan. You know, nobody plans it.
Not at all.
It just happened, and it worked to Cork's advantage. But I am very, very impressed by the way that Kerry have gone about their business in a very workmanlike manner. You know, it's not sophisticated, it's not complicated, it's very straightforward, it's disciplined, it's workmanlike, and that's the kind of stuff that wins All-Irelands, especially against a team like Cork, who are on a crest of a wave at the moment, because they do have the upper hand on Kerry this year so far. And I think that a performance like that, if they can put in that workmanlike performance, if we get everybody contributing, like we said, the likes of Paul Galvin is contributing. I mean, he's all over the pitch. You know, he's back in defence, he's picking up breaks, he's on the end of passes it up in the scoring end of the pitch. Probably should have got a point. Bad idea to fist it, should have put it over the bar. Look, I'd never be critical of him. I think he's a fantastic player. I think that his work rate is absolutely phenomenal today. And, you know, if everybody can contribute along the same lines as he's doing, as is Ty Kennelly, as is Tommy Griffin, you know, I think for me, those guys are really, really pulling the plug here big time today. And, you know, it's looking good, Alan. I don't think it's going to be spectacular looking at the way the first half went, but I do think that things are looking very positive from a Kerry point of view.
Colm Cooper, it looks, again, we talk about the target men, the key target men. I think, Billy, on the basis of the first half, that the ball going into Declan O'Sullivan low and the ball going into Colm Cooper, they're either producing scores from play or indeed scores from frees, and that'll do nicely. Thank you very much.
But will indeed. And the other point of it too, Alan, is that Anthony Lynch is on a yellow card. Now, we've been watching it up here. I don't know if you can actually see it there on the screen down below in the studio. But Anthony Lynch has been tugging away at Colm Cooper. Not in a negative way or whatever. He's just making himself known to Colm Cooper. But he's on a yellow card now. He can't continue on that way because the ref is watching him. And he's under severe pressure. What I would do is I would target the Gooch. If I was in Jack O'Connor's shoes at the moment, I'd be saying to the boys, hit the Gooch. Hit the Gooch for the simple reason that Anthony Lynch is under pressure. One more foul and he's gone. He's not going to foul him. He's going to give him a small bit of breathing space. Let's exploit that because we all know what the Gooch can do. And that's the tactic that I would be using in the second half if I was the manager.
Billy, I noted here in notes from the first half, overlaps. It looks like Kerry can get that extra man running up and down the wing. It seems to be that there is always a player that we can either running off the shoulder or running onto ball. That was very much the way Cork played against Tyrone. They were finding the extra men all the time, but Kerry seemed to be able to find the overlaps quite easily, and it's a good sign for the period of dominance they had there in the middle of the first half.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I mean, that's an obvious tactic that Kerry were going to use, because Kerry, as you said, Cork had used that tactic against Tyrone. So what you got to do is try and counteract that, which Kerry have done, in fairness. Cork have tried that tactic too. In the first 15 minutes, you know, they were running rampant. It looked like that they were going to be taking control of the game. And, you know, I was very, very worried there after 15 minutes. I thought that Cork were going to take the upper hand because they were 1-3 to 1 point up. They were cruising. They were winning a lot of the breaking ball. There wasn't an awful lot of feeling around the middle of the field. But the breaking ball was all being picked up by Cork people in the first 15 minutes. And I said to myself, we're in trouble here. But as you said, you know, we're playing an overlapping game. Tomás O'Shea has come into it big time at right half back. Contributed with a point. And, you know, we seem to have settled and stemmed the tide a small bit. And I think that if we can continue on from that vein of form,
we're looking good in the second half.
Well, Cork went 16 minutes, Billy, I counted, without a score in the second half. And really, they were kind of, well, it was a good score by Goulding. I mean, Tom O'Sullivan invited him to kick off his left, which he did. And Tom O'Sullivan unfortunately slipped. But the last free to Goulding probably put a little bit of extra complexion on the score for Cork. And I think Marty Duffy, by booking Anthony Lynch now, I think the dynamic for the way the game is going to be refereed is going to be slightly different in the second half, because the stakes have suddenly been raised considerably in terms of the fact that Anthony Lynch is on a yellow, and who would the next person to be booked? I think that decision is going to be critical in terms of the way the game pans out, just from a refereeing point of view.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, what happens in situations like that is that he'll be more critical toward the Kerry defence as he would to the Cork defence, because he's already shown his hand to the Cork defence that's his intention. He's going to lay down law fairly quickly.
That's what I'm saying. I think Goulding picked up that free fairly lightly in the last play.
Yeah. That's a given. I mean, that's always going to happen. I mean, we saw that with John Bannon in the Cork Tyrone game. You know, referees have a tendency, when they book somebody on one side, that they might just show a bit of leniency on the other side of it in terms of attacking and things like that. Whether it'll actually come down to that or much, Alan, I don't think so. It's only a booking. It's not a sending off. If it was a sending off, you'd see a huge degree of leniency to the other side.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. But what it will do from a Cork point of view is it'll make Anthony Lynch make sure that he's not going to be caught again.
I
went back to the point earlier. If Kerry can rain ball down on top of the Gooch with Anthony Lynch on a yellow card, knowing that he can't do anything to the Gooch, we could be in for a good one.
Cracker.
From our point of view anyway.
Okay, Billy, we'll leave it there. We'll talk to you at full time, and I'll let you get back to your spot, and just hand over the commentary to Gary and to Weishi. It is half time. The second half just about to get underway. Kerry against Cork. Kerry leading 11 points to 1-6. It's all ahead. Very finely balanced at Croke Park, and a very intriguing and interesting second half coming up. I see Owen Cadigan's on for Kieran O'Connor. We'll get back to the action. Weishi Fogarty analysing the action. Gary O'Sullivan calling it.
Radio Kerry, live from Croke Park for the All-Ireland Football Final, in association with Billy Nocton, main Volvo dealer, Mile High Tralee.
Yes, Alan, thanks very much. Spot on. We're back and running, and the ball has been thrown in, and you're right, Owen Cadigan is in for Kieran O'Connor. Well, we did mention Declan O'Sullivan had the beating of Kieran O'Connor, and that's why the substitution was made at halftime. No change by Kerry, and it was a... high one there on Darrow O'Shea, and the referee says play on, and it's Kerry who's coming out now with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, long ball for Paul Galvin, beaten over there by Noel O'Leary, but again, the man that's got a whole host of breaks today is Seamus Scanlon. Kerry, of course, lead here by 2 points. Ball messed up over on the far side, picked up by Nicholas Murphy. Challenge going in on Goulding. Back there now come Cork again, but they're going backwards. Paddy Kelly has the ball. He's got 1 point in the first half, getting away now from Killian Young. Now the big question, who'll get the first goal of the second half? It's now with the man who's got his first touch, Owen Cadigan from Douglas. Owen Cadigan plays the ball outside here now to Kerrigan. Paul Kerrigan, no score yet. Has he rectified that? He hasn't. It's gone right and wide into Hill 16 after 53 seconds.
Yeah, and Paul Kerrigan, son of the great Jimmy Kerrigan, that's his first shot at goal since the game began. That'll tell you how he's been marked out of it. From outside the 45, he was at the end of that passing movement. Remember now, Cork are defending the Canal goal here, and the sun is beaming down in Croke Park. To all you people around the world listening to us, we send you our best wishes wherever you may be, and that ball went by Kerrigan, went wide.
The first kick out of the second half for Dermot Murphy. The sun is shining in Croke Park. Seamus Scanlon breaks the ball away, but it's gone into the hands of a Corkman, and that Corkman is Nicholas Murphy. Nicholas Murphy now plays it inside to Paddy Kelly from Ballincollig. Paddy Kelly, Killian Young trying to keep him out and doing well so far, the Renard man. Back again to Carrigaline's Nicholas Murphy. Gets away momentarily from Darragh O'Shea. Darragh still has the legs. Hand passing it inside. Mark O'Shea pulls it in very well and drives it a good 50 yards out into the middle of the field again, where Patrick Kelly has it again. Now it's 1-1 marking by Kerry. High ball inside again. Is it Tommy Griffin's? It is. He breaks the Tom Sullivan. Tommy Griffin has improved so much, it's hard to explain it since the goal went in, Weishi.
Yes, indeed. And Cork are trying to low ball in there, trying to high ball in there. Just can't penetrate this Kerry defence, who are playing absolutely outstanding. In particular, the Kerry half-back line are playing outstandingly well. They're bringing 12 men behind the ball most of the time, and Cork just cannot penetrate this Kerry defence. And Catherine O'Grady from Culloden and Lorraine Fitzgerald from Castle Island, they are tuned into us out in Bangkok. And we say hello to you, and that comes from John O'Grady. So ladies out in Bangkok, we send you our best.
Ball has gone out off Ty Kennelly over there on the far side in front of the Cusick stand, and it's going to be a line ball to Cork. And the referee or the linesman over there from Cavan says, take your time a minute. And it's quickly taken by Graham Canty. Into the middle now. No score yet in the second half. And we're gone 2.5 minutes into that second half. John Miskell at the Garda drives it inside now. And was there a little bit of a tug? There was a little bit of a trip on the heel by Mark O'Shea on, I think, Dunico, Conor Ouija, and it's a free into Cork.
Yeah, but the only way you can see Cork getting points now at the moment, Gary, is from frees like this, because this is a 45-metre free in its own right. It's not just inside the 45-metre line. But Cork are finding it very difficult to get through. The Kerry defence is absolutely superb. Costa, remember, Kerry are in their sixth final. Highly, highly experienced in all facets of the game.
Daniel Goulding to take this free, just about a yard or two inside the 45. Is this the first score of the second half? Not the greatest kick in the world by Daniel Goulding, and he puts it very badly wide, and he'd be very disappointed with that.
That was a terrible effort by Daniel Goulding. Daniel Goulding, he was just inside the 45-metre line, kicking into Hill 16, and he came up, and he's very nervous looking with that kick. He pulled the ball absolutely hopelessly wide on his own side, never gave it a chance whatsoever. Cork, they're getting a lot of ball, but they don't look comfortable when they get near the post.
Well, a few fellow pressmen I met at half time said, now's the time to bring in Kieran Donaghy. I didn't agree with it, and I don't think he hasn't come in. That's a great catch by Alan O'Connor in the middle of the field, and he's been fouled, and Marty Duffy says, back you go, and it's the Nicholas Murphy to take this free. Just about, well, it's about 70 yards out from goal still. Nicholas Murphy, Darrow Shea standing in front of him. A lot of movement. Tom Sullivan and his man. And that man is goaling. And Tom Sullivan again with a magnificent catch. The Rathmore man trying to get away from Pearce O'Neill. Frees himself up to Paul Galvin, who again has gone back foraging for stuff. Paul Galvin plays it outside there to Mike McCarthy. Again to Paul Galvin. And away he goes on his merry way. After him is Noel O'Leary. He checks the stride. Back to Dara. Darrow Shea now plays the ball. Good running by Ty Kennelly. Or as Jack calls him, Ty Geen. And Ty Geen has it, and he's still about 70 yards out from goal, and he's been fouled by a combination of Graham Canty and another Corkman, and the boos are coming, we see, for Marty Duffy.
Yeah, and Graham Canty, he questioned the referee in relation to that, because the ball came in and Ty Kennelly running into open space. He has this tremendous gift that he brought from Australia of running into open space. Well done.
Quickly taken for Declan O'Sullivan. Now Miskell is on him. He beat Kieran O'Connor. It was the difference, Kieran O'Connor being sent off. And Marty Duffy, Wishy, one thing, he's not standing for this pulling of the jersey.
No, indeed, he's very pulling for small things, really, where another referee might let them go, but he's pulling him, and he's doing it now on both sides, so really we won't be criticising him for that. But that was a lovely bit of play, as I said originally, by Ty Kennelly. What a wonderful gift he has of falling and finding open space all the time. He always occupies open space.
We still wait the first score of the second half. Is this it from Colm Cooper? He's hitting into the canal end. The umpires look high into the blue sky of Croke Park, and one says to the other, put up your white flag, and Colm Cooper's got the first score of the second half.
Yes, and he's sixth score of the game. He's sixth point off of a free by De Gooch, the man from Arcianavuli, as the big poster says in front of the cathedral in Killarney. We can do it with the man from Arcian, and he popped the ball over the bar, 1-6 to 2 points. Kerry making better use of their attacking options.
Alan Quirk now with the kick out towards the middle of the field. Up will go Mike McCarthy, but it's grabbed, and I mean grabbed, by Nicholas Murphy. Nicholas Murphy's been fouled there. Paddy Kelly wants to take the ball quickly. 3-point lead for Cork. Loose man out the far side is Noel O'Leary. Noel O'Leary gives it inside to Dunico O'Connor taking on his man. That's Mark Shea, gets away from him, left footed effort from Dunico O'Connor. Another wide for Cork, and they're building up the wides are.
They are indeed, and Mark O'Connor got that ball on the 21 metre line, 4 yards inside from the sideline in front of in Hill 16. The sun beaming down in the kaleidoscope of colour over there away from us in Hill 16. That Hill 16 was built on the rubbles of O'Connell Street during the troubles of 1916, and that's where Dunico O'Connor got it. He's from Ballydesmond, and he pulled the ball across the face of the goal, kicked it wide.
Damon Murphy out to the middle of the field, they're fighting for possession, and Darren Sullivan, who I suppose by his own standards had a quite enough afternoon. Conor Coonan says the ball was out. Tomás O'Shea says it wasn't. The answer is it was, because the linesman now, Jack O'Connor, is a little bit of a whisper into the left field of the linesman.
I doubt if the whole of the ball was over, Gary. I'll tell you the truth from where I am here. I thought the whole of the ball wasn't over. And Jack O'Connor went up and he gave a little whisper into the linesman ear.
And he says to the ref, how long more is he going to take the free? Tommy Griffin again breaks it away from O'Neill. It's gone out about 70 yards out for goal. Ty Kennelly follows Graham Canty, who's made the run. Patrick Kelly has it. He's been pushed back by Killian Young. Now to the other number seven, Noel O'Leary. Noel O'Leary back again to Kelly. Into the middle. He might give it to the captain, Canty. He hasn't given it to him yet. He still hasn't given it to him. He's trying to take on Killian Young. Young back now to Canty, taking on Ty Kennelly. The run, a little bit of burst of pace by Graham Canty. Out to his left was a runner, Anthony Lynch. He decides now to give it to the full forward. That's O'Neill. A great tackle again going in by Tommy Griffin, and Darragh O'Shea punches it from his van inside there. A 45 to Cork.
One of the outstanding features of the Kerry team today, for me, is the marking by the defence, the marking by all the players. I've been watching them in training in Killarney over the last number of weeks, and the one thing that they have been concentrating on is marking the man without fouling him. And the Kerry defence today, Gary, you can notice it, every single player on the field is responsible for his own men, and he's marking him, and he won't let him get him sight him, and he's not fouling him in close. So the marking by the Kerry defence has been absolutely superb.
We're 8 minutes into the second half. Cork are still awaiting their first score of that second half. Kerry lead by 3, 12 points to 1-6. The 45 from Donegh O'Connor. It goes hush for just a moment. It's curling, 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 but it hasn't curled enough. Another wide for Cork, Weeshie. They won't be happy with that.
Well, I remember back in the 50s and the 60s when Cork had come to Killarney to play Kerry in Munster Championships. And the one thing about it is that it was always said, Cork have great backs, good midfielders, but their forwards wouldn't score until if they were there till the cows came home. And today now, Cork have, there's two Cork substitutes warming up. I think they're going to bring in the big man. We'll keep an eye on that because they're missing a lot of scores in around there.
Yeah, Custom is warming up, battling for it over there, going in again. Well done there. Was that Ty Kennelly or Paul Galvin? I can't quite see from here. I think it was Paul Galvin. It was indeed. What a game that man has had. He's in line for Player of the Year. Darragh O'Shea takes it quickly to Darren. Darren now being marked by Anthony Lynch. So that's a switch by Cork. The Gooch is no longer, but now this man is equally as tricky. The captain goes forward. What a great run by the Glenbey man. Darren Sullivan in for goal, and he kicks it high, and he's kicked it over the bar. A tremendous run by Darren O'Sullivan.
Oh, great run by Darren O'Sullivan, the captain from Glenbey Glencar. If the cup goes home, there'll be bonfires around on the hills of Glencar there this evening. He took on his men, he took Anthony Lynch on, and he went inside him. Lynch couldn't foul him, he couldn't pull him down, because if he did, he'd be sent off. And Dan went right through, got into the verge of the square, and with the left leg from right on the spot, popped the ball over the bar. Wonderful point. 1-6-3 point.
Should it have been allowed? He hopped it twice,
he did, Gary, but that's the way it goes. He got it anyway.
He got away with it. We'll take it. We'll take everything at this stage. It's 13 points now to 1-6. Dinging in, Mike McCarthy goes in. Colm Cooper slips. Cooper now has been marked by Michael Shields, and this is the man on the ball. Shields sends the dummy to Darren Sullivan. He buys it. Away goes the fullback. What a run now by Michael Shields. He's got a good 50 yards. Hits it high again inside. And again, Tommy Griffin in complete control. The Cork attack, Weeshie, has gone pear-shaped completely.
It is. But Gary, like I said a while ago, Shields came up there. He was looking for a man to kick it there. Yeah. But what's happening is the Kerry defence are so close to their men that a Corkman cannot get loose. When Shields looked up there, there was no Corkman in the open space, for the simple reason that every Corkman running into the open space has been marked by Kerry men, and that's the secret of what's happening at the moment.
It's nearly 11 minutes since Cork last scored, would you believe? Seamus Scanlon keeps the ball in play to Killian Young. Back again to Paul Galvin. He's been more of a back than a forward today, but he's been playing brilliantly. So too this man, Seamus Scanlon. Outside now to Mike McCarthy. What a fairy tale it will be for him. A man that was playing me in the summer soccer with Castle Island and with Desmond's back there in the Castle Island side. Here is Mike McCarthy trying to get away from Nicholas Murphy. Plays it in again to Darragh O'Shea. Looking for All-Ireland medal number 6. Darragh plays it outside now to Seamus Scanlon. Ty Kennelly has made the run and he's been picked out, and Kennelly wins it ahead of Canty. Kerry doing well so far. Declan Sullivan made the run. Cooch has been held inside by Shields. Inside to Tommy Welch. Great build up and a great block, to be fair now, by number 20, Owen Cadigan. That was good defending by him.
Oh, that was a great block down by Cadigan. A great run by Ty Kennelly into Welch, and Welch turned around. A great block down by Cadigan. Away come Cork. It's 1-6 to 13 points.
Cadigan to Nicholas Murphy. Nicholas Murphy inside again, and Tommy Griffin trying to break it from O'Neill. O'Neill has it. The jersey not being pulled. Back to Paul Kerrigan. He hasn't got a score yet. It's curling again. This time it's not gone over either. Another wide for Cork.
Yes, indeed, but we were very lucky there with the pre given in there, because I thought the Corkman was fouled. Passed the ball out to Kerrigan, but Kerrigan rushed his shot, never settled in the ball, rushed his shot, kicking into Hill 16 and just pulled that ball wide. The Cork, the Cork attack are kicking wides left, right and centre.
There's no doubt about that. We're 12 minutes into this second half. Still delicately poised. It's a 4-point lead for Kerry. 13 points to Cork's 1-6. Two Corkmen going for the same ball, but Cork have possession, and that was Graham Canty, was it, I think, in the middle of the field. In fact, it could have been Alan O'Connor. This is most definitely Kerrigan. And Paul Kerrigan at that from Nemo Rangers. Plays the ball inside now to the man from Bally Desmond. That is Dunnock O'Connor. He's got two frees already. Mark O'Shea slightly slips. Tom Sullivan trying to get the ball away from Daniel Goulding. He's got a point from play so far. He's doing well. Goulding going for goal. Brilliant block by Damon Murphy. Right on the line, and Mike McCarthy saves it here for Kerry.
An absolute superb save by the Dingle man. Dallin Goulding got the ball. He's left behind his man behind him. He got right into the verge of the square. He was at a bit of an angle, but Dermot Murphy, the big 6'4" man from Dingle, he narrowed the gap beautifully, came out, and Goulding went through. He hit a rocket of a shot. It went straight at the goalkeeper, but in fairness to him, he had the angle cut down, saved that absolute rocket, and the ball rebounded out. Great save by the goalkeeper, but the angle was very narrow, in fairness.
It was indeed. Is Dunnock O'Connor in trouble here? Yes, a yellow card shown to the man from Bally Desmond. He slightly hampered Darrow Shane coming out. Maybe there's a little bit of an afters after that. Possibly that's what it was for. Ty Kennelly fully running again. The former Sydney Swan. Will he go back to be a Swan? That's the big question. He wants to win his medal first. Graham Canty wins the ball from him. Canty's been fouled by Tomás O'Shea, and if Tomás isn't retreated, he'll be brought forward, Michi.
Yes, indeed, it will indeed. Maybe he's lucky he didn't get a yellow card. But no, Canty had a hold to Tomás O'Shea, and Tomás O'Shea, Canty was on the ground. Tomás O'Shea was trying to get away from him. Canty had a hold to Tomás O'Shea, and Tomás O'Shea pulled back, and he didn't connect with Canty, but this will be a free in, definitely. Good refereeing there.
Cork have made a substitution. Fintan Gould from McCroom is in, and Paul Kerrigan from Nemo Rangers is gone. Gould came in as well, I remember, in the Munster final replay in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and Jack O'Connor is looking to his bench. There will be a change. Yes, there is a change. I'm not quite sure who it is, but Kerry are bringing in Dunnock Walsh, Rishi. He'll be in very shortly.
And this is a vital free for Dunnock O'Connor. They're after missing so much now. If they miss this particular free, it's very, very scorable. It would be a real hammer blow for Cork.
14 minutes into the second half. This is curling home. It looks good. It's a great strike. Good score by Dunnock O'Connor. It is so delicately poised. There's only 3 points in it.
Yes, indeed. And Cork are far from out of this game, let me tell you. Indeed, Gary, it would be fair to say that they're having the lion's share of position at the moment.
In the second half, definitely.
And around the middle of the field, yes, they're winning a lot of
Dunnock ball. Walsh is about to come in. Now, Paul Galvin wins the ball over in the left half-back position. Man-to-man, he's on Noel O'Leary. Noel O'Leary tries to get a ball off him into Seamus Scanlon, who's played solid, as I mentioned. Seamus been harassed by Alan O'Connor. Too much, says the referee. And it's going to be a free out to Kerry. Dunnock Walsh is getting serious instructions from Eamon Fitzmaurice. He'll be coming in. I'm not quite sure who'll be coming off. It's a free to Kerry, and the free is quickly taken. Darren Sullivan now trying to up the ante. Back to Tommy Griffin, who's come all the way up from full back, getting away from Anthony Lynch. Plays it inside to Colm Cooper, but a very poor pass, and this will be won by Michael Shields. Anthony Lynch calling for the ball, getting the ball. He's on a yellow. He'll have to be careful. Out come Cork again. There's a little bit of a pep in the step of the Cork boys. Ball is transferred now to Anthony Lynch once again. Anthony Lynch gathers the ball, coming into the middle. Cork coming more into it. We are gone 15 minutes into the second half. A tackle goes in from Tommy Welch. Ball is inside still with a Cork jersey. Played out now to the man who gets his first touch, Fintan Gould. Selling dummies, 1, 2, 3, too many. Tomás O'Shea didn't buy that dummy. He grabs the ball, and Tommy Welch on the way out is fouled.
Great defence there, of course, when that was Fintan Gould going right through the heart of the Kerry defence. That was absolutely superb defensive play again by Kerry, and it's going to be Dunnock Walsh who's coming
on.
Ty Kennelly, that's very surprising. Very surprising. I must say it. I can't figure out that one, Gary. That Ty Kennelly, that's very surprising. And Ty Kennelly is wondering himself, and I don't know why that. I thought Ty Kennelly was actually heading for man of the match. Would you believe? Maybe I don't know my football, but that's a huge surprise to me.
And especially, I suppose, with the athleticism with which he has. Well, that's the selector's call. And Dunnock Walsh is in, and he gets a touch to Killian Young. Back now to Dara O'Shea. 16 and a half minutes into the second half, and it's a 3-point lead for Kerry. Has the man held on to it too long? He has. That man is Mark O'Shea. Referee said you made no attempt of getting ready. It free to Cork, quickly taken. Tom Sullivan is backpedalling into the hands of Daniel Goulding. He'll go for goal here. Goulding hits it over the bar. Tom Sullivan did well to get back. Cork have it back to two.
Oh, that was a very, very close one, and Cork are coming more and more into it. We said while ago they have more to the play. Goulding got inside his men there, but he did not have the legs to go for goal. Tom Sullivan got back, got down in the ball, but Goulding popped the ball over the bar. We said a while ago, Gary, Cork having the line share of position now.
Yeah.
Kerry around the middle of the field, and I'm very surprised at the golf type.
And a man that had an outstanding first half, Rishi, they're not bringing him into it at all, is Declan Sullivan.
Correct.
17 minutes into the second half. I don't know, has he got a touch at all yet? Great catch by Nicholas Murphy. Kerry are letting things slip a little bit.
Are Kerry tiring a little bit? Is the sixth All-Ireland final in a row beginning to tell? Is the fresher, more hungrier Cork team going to come? We'll have to see, wait and see. It's absolutely fascinating. 52 minutes gone in the game there, and it's 1-8 to 13 points.
We are right bang in halfway through the second half. It's kept in play over by Daniel Goulding. Tom Sullivan, we'll say, assisted him to the ground. It's a line ball in the corner flag, and it's quickly taken. Transferred on again. Tommy coming out now from the corner back position. Now, ball here with Tomás O'Shea. Three outs is Marty Duffy for another tug on the jersey. Declan Sullivan has gone running, but Miskell is on him. Miskell is a different kettle of fish, I'll tell you, to Kieran O'Connor. But away goes Declan. He's showing a serious burst of pace now. The man from Drummond pierces. Still Declan O'Sullivan. Still Declan holding it on. The run made by Donica Walsh. He plays it back to Tommy Welsh. Tommy hits it high into the clouds. Tommy's kicked it left and wide for Kerry.
Yeah, that was a great run by Declan O'Sullivan, but that was a great wide for Cork, let me tell you. Declan, great run down the wing. Pass it out to Tommy Welsh. Tommy Welsh was well inside the 45 metre line, kicking into the canal goal, and he just went for the ball and pulled it wide in his own side. The spring has gone out to Kerry at the moment. The threat is from Cork now. The Cork crowd are rising to their team. The red and white here in Croke Park are rising, trying to get behind the team. It's 1-8 to 13 points.
Again, the ball is gathered in the middle of the field by Pearce O'Neill. Is it time for Donaghy? Is he injured? Can he come on? Can anything to be done? David Morden is warming up. Kieran Donaghy has been asked to warm up, so too Michal Quirk. Kerry not out of it at all, just lead by two. This now is with Colm O'Neill and Tommy Griffin. Colm O'Neill keeps the ball in play. Well, there was a man, Colm O'Neill, who played a few years back for Kerry. He was a relation of the great Maurice Fitzgerald. This is not him, this is a different Colm O'Neill. Donica Walsh trying to get the ball back for Kerry. Ball is with a Cork jersey. That's Alan O'Connor coming through the middle. Graham Canty, the tackle going in from Donica Walsh. A foul, says referee Marty Duffy. 25-yard, 30 out from goal. Easy free in.
Yeah, a blatant foul. Cork are coming more and more into deck. They can sense victory. Graham Canty there came up, and he was definitely fouled by Donica Walsh, no doubt at all about it there. That's a captain's leadership, that's a captain's drive. This is going to be another point by Cork. They're coming more and more into it now. They're more settled. Kerry are looking a little bit tired at the moment. They're looking a little bit off the pace, and Cork, the fresher Cork team, is beginning to tail. Vital free for Cork.
Daniel Goulding to take the vital free. He's connected better this time. There's only 1 point between the sides as we have got 16 minutes left in Croke Park.
Yeah, and Kieran Donaghy, the star Donaghy, is going to come in now. We're going to see where he's going to go, because there's just that 1 point in it. 1-9 to 13 points, and Cork winning all the battle around the middle of the field, dominating all the high fielding out there. And Michal Quirk is also coming in. Will Kerry bring in a man in the full forward line and a man in centre field, because Cork are dominating. It's all around the middle of the field now, Gary.
Two massive men to come into the side. Kieran Donaghy standing at 6 feet 5 inches, and he's going to be joined by a man, Michal Quirk, who's 6 feet 7 inches. They're about to come in, both of them. They're not in yet. It's Cork again, John Miskella, 1 point down. Kerry lead by one, but Cork have eaten into the Kerry lead. Great run again made by Cork. Will they threaten for a goal? That's Goulding. Great block by Mark O'Shea, and Dara's there to help, and Dara takes the shoulder. In fact, it was taking the shoulder from Goulding. Good work inside by Dara O'Shea. He's trying to work it out.
And a great block down by Mark O'Shea. Goulding got the ball, turned around, was going to kick for a point. It looked like it was going to go over the bar, but Mark O'Shea threw him down on top of it. Great block down.
Declan Sullivan got away, way deep altogether. Now Tom Sullivan coming up. Declan has gone very deep. Tom Sullivan in the middle. Out to his left is Seamus Scanlon. Running is Gooch. Running is Tommy Welch. Gooch gets to the head of Michael Shields. Tommy inside now for the captain, Darren Sullivan. Anthony Lynch cannot put a finger on him. He's on a yellow. Back to Colm Cooper. Can Kerry get a score? That's a good run by Colm Cooper. Three of them on him. Back to Dunica Walsh. Back outside to Tommy Welch. Puts it on the left. It's gone high into the clouds. It's coming down. And it's gone over the bar. Tommy Welch with a very, very needed point. It's his third.
Tommy Welch lifts the siege there, and there's a substitution there, and it's Dara O'Shea that's going to come off. And listen to the ovation that he's going to get after that point. Michal Quirk comes on,
and Darren Sullivan is gone,
the captain. The two big men and the Kerry team, well, big in their own right, as the fella said. And Dara O'Shea, huge round of applause. And the captain, Dan O'Sullivan. That was a great run by Cullum Cooper. Got inside, passed the ball back out. It went to Tommy Welch. That was a vital point. It's 1-9 to 14 points. Vital point. That's a point. Great bit of fielding. Wonderful
Seamus
fielding.
Seamus Scanlon. What a catch by Seamus Scanlon. He's fouled. Michal Quirk is in midfield. Kieran Donaghy is in full forward. Paul Galvin knows there's only one route now. Gives it to Tomás O'Shea. That's the route. The run is made by Donaghy. First touch by the man from Weston Stacks. Back to the other tall man, Tommy Welch. Tommy Welch on Owen Cannigan. He's got 3 points from play, Tommy Welch. He needs to get it out of the corner. Into Donica Walsh. Back to Tommy Welch. This is a good kick by Tommy Welch. Oh, that's a beauty! Tommy Welch, the player of the young player of the year 2 years ago. Magnificent points.
Magnificent football by Kerry. What a lovely piece of football. Once great stuff by Kieran Donaghy into Dunica Welch. Dunica Welch back to Tommy Welch. And just underneath us here, the Cairns are ahead of his man with the left leg, kicked an absolutely sublime point into the canal end. That's two in a row for him in the space of 2 minutes. It's 1-9 to 15 points. There's another sub on for Cork.
Conor Coonan has counteracted the move of Kieran Donaghy full forward because he's put in big tall Derek Kavanagh in at full back. And Anthony Lynch has gone off the Cork team. We are gone 23 minutes into the second half. That will tell you we're 12 minutes away. Kerry lead by 3, 1-9 to Cork, 15 points to Kerry. The ball is now with Paddy Kelly from Ballincollig. Plays it back to Graham Canty from Bantry Blues. Drives it out. Tom Sullivan is the Kerry man over there. The hop is judged by Tom Sullivan, getting it ahead of Daniel Goulding. What a magnificent performance by the Ratmore man.
Tom Sullivan is playing an absolute blinder. He'd be well in the line for anybody's man of the match. And that high ball went in and Goulding came out, hopped over his head. Tom Sullivan timed it absolutely completely. Kerry lifting the
Oh, look at
again.
The loose man out to the left. Goulds, yep. Can't spot him. That's Tomás O'Shea. What a run. Now Tomás steady himself. Kicking for the first post, first time. Brilliant score by Tomás O'Shea.
Wonderful point by Tomás O'Shea. The three O'Shea brothers, what great service they've given to Kerry. And Cullen Cooper spotted Tomás O'Shea. Cork have completely demoralised now again after those 2 points by Tommy Welch. The ball went out to Tomás O'Shea. He came in along kicking into the canal goal and he hit a beautiful point straight into over the bar. It's 1-9 to 16 points. Are Kerry heading for their 36th title? They're in their 6th All-Ireland final. No Kerry team was ever beaten in 2 All-Ireland finals in a row until you go back to 1964-65, and it looks like it mightn't happen today. Will Cork come back and get the goal they need?
Lorraine Murphy from Town is listening to us in Vietnam or in Leo. She's listening online. She wants to say hello to her family in Milltown, Dennis, Joan, Amanda and the rest of them. She says up the kingdom. She's travelling with 4 other Kerry women and a misguided Cork girl. Well, there's a few misguided Cork men here at the moment. Let's check the watch quickly. 24 minutes gone. Kerry lead by 4 points, and Tommy Welch again gets away from Cannigan. Cannigan has it. 4 points from play by Tommy Welch. This time he's fouled Cannigan. It's a free out.
Yeah, the high ball came in there and Tommy Welch definitely. Cannigan went down for the ball. Tommy Welch came up behind him. But will it be a case of Tommy Welch's 2 second half points? St. Kerry on their winning way? We don't know. We'll have to see, because the time, there's 60 minutes gone in the game now. Kerry leading by 1 goal and 9 points to 16 points. And those last 3 points were absolutely vital.
10 minutes left. That's what Kerry are away from winning another All-Ireland. Coming out with the ball is Michael Shields. Beats Donaghy from the tackle. Also now beats Quirk. Transfers it on the side now to Nicholas Murphy. Cork not out in the woods yet. Nicholas Murphy to Noel O'Leary. Noel O'Leary has the ball. It's sort of got away from him, but he has it back again. Plays it outside to Dunico O'Connor. Paul Galvin descends upon him. Back again out to Nicholas Murphy. Nicholas Murphy gets away from Declan O'Sullivan. Maybe clipped him into the mouth, but the referee says play on. Back here now to Paddy Kelly. Paddy Kelly now. The tempo is upping here in Croke Park. Paddy Kelly plays it across to John Miskela. Miskela back to Paddy Kelly. It's freed up. It's opened. He's kicked it high. It is very high, but it's very wide as well. And that was a welcome relief to the Kerry defence.
Yeah, that was a great movement by Cork. The ball finished up with Paddy Kelly just inside the 45-metre line. And that was a very bad miss by him. He gave it no chance whatsoever. Kicked it right into the Hill 16. But the big difference is, and I keep repeating, the Kerry defence so far has been absolutely outstanding from one man inside, right up on out around to the middle of the field. The defence are keeping Cork back. While Kerry are playing more of a mass defence, Cork on the other hand are playing it more open below, yeah. Gary, they're not playing the mass defence at all.
Quite
and
true.
Kerry above, the Kerry defence is absolutely superb. Cork can't get a smell at the goal.
Jack having a word with the linesman. I'd love to be a fly in the ground knowing what he's asking him. It's Noel O'Leary who's won the ball in the middle of the field, and Safreen is quickly taken. 9 minutes left, and now the ball is with Dunnock O'Connor. Kerry lead by four. Still Dunnock O'Connor getting away from three, four, five Kerry players. Still Dunnock O'Connor launching it hindside. Dangerous. Oh, what a catch! Oh, brilliant catch, Wishy, by Tommy Griffin.
Tommy Griffin, wonderful interception. There was a ball just popped into the square there, into the two Cork tackers, and Tommy Griffin came across out of nowhere. And what a wonderful catch. That catch will be remembered in the memory for many a long day, like the great catch Jerome made against Dublin or Shea made in 1955. Wonderful catch, great interception.
James Masters is coming in. A dangerous commodity to bring in at any day of the year. And Daniel Goulding is being called ashore. He's kicked two from play and two frees. So James Master, the guard there, will go inside now. Round about the full forward, Bert. 27 minutes gone. 8 minutes left. Kerry 4 points up here in this All-Ireland final. Dunnock O'Connor takes the sideline ball. They're harassing and tussling for it inside. And Tomás O'Shea scooped off the ground by the Corkman. That was by Fintan Gould, free out to Kerry.
Ah, but great tactic again by the Kerry. The Kerry defence, close, continuous coverage, without fouling all day. They're absolutely superb, the defence. Cork have had more of the play in the second half than Kerry, yeah, with the Kerry defence.
They're a brilliant bunch of players, no more so than this young man, Tommy Welch. Tommy Welch keeping the ball in play, hopping it, still in play, it's on the line. Now it's gone out. Owen Cadigan fouled him, says Marty Duffy. I'm having no more of it, he said. It's a free to Kerry. On the 45 and on the sideline, and they're in no particular rush, and why would they be to take this free?
Yes, indeed, and Tommy Welch came flying up along the sideline there. His man Cadigan was with him, and Tommy Welch, beautifully, the way he hopped the ball in front of him, the way he wouldn't be pushed out over the line, and eventually he was fouled free in for Kerry on the 45 metre line on the sideline.
And it's landed inside for Donaghy. He keeps his eye on it. It hops nicely into his ribcage. Donaghy and Derek Kavanagh, two big men. Donaghy slips. He's got blue gloves on today. In goes Donica Walsh, foraging for it, but coming out is Graham Canty, the captain. At the moment, you'd consider Darren Sullivan going up the steps for it. Don't rule out Cork yet. They're coming again through Alan O'Connor. Here now is Noel O'Leary. The watch is an important commodity to have in my left hand, and it tells me there's 7 minutes left. Kerry leads by 4 points. Cork with a chance. James Masters with his first touch, and that touch is a bad touch. It's another wide for Cork.
Oh, there's no doubt at all about it. When Cork look back at this game, they'll be absolutely kicking themselves, because James Masters got him right inside the defence there, outside the 21 metre line in front of Hill 16, and with the left leg he ballooned the ball wide. That was a tremendous opportunity for Cork. Indeed, Gary, in fairness to him, they're after kicking at least four or five terrible bad wides.
The Stewarts are moving in, and Cork no doubt have seen that. That indicates we're coming towards the end. 6 minutes left. Michal Quirk gets in there and gets the ball ahead of Marty Duffy, the ref. Back to Tomás O'Shea. Pick him out of the match. It'll be a hard thing to do. Well, I must say, the man on the line, Jack O'Connor, got the hurling man of the match wrong, because I won a tenner off him, but we won't say no more about that. We didn't even get the money yet. We'll call it maybe tonight off him if we meet him. Here's Cullum. Cullum Cooper back to Tomás O'Shea. Tomás O'Shea holding possession now, finding himself a little bit of space. Tomás in side two, Mike McCarthy, route one. But that was a poor route, Mike, because it played right into the hands of Noel O'Leary. Here's Graham Canty now. Cork building from the back.
Cork need a goal, Gary.
They do. Derek Kavanagh plays it outside now to John Miskela. The watch says exactly 5 minutes of normal time, and away goes Cork again. High ball, Kerry slipping and sliding. Not Tom Sullivan, he gets a left boot to it. It's gone out towards the middle of the field again. Still Cork with possession. Masters, James Masters inside now. Mark O'Shea is after Dunnock O'Connor. He slips, he ducks, he dives, he gets up again. He has the kick. It's curling for Diarmaid Murphy. Keeps his eye on it. And the big man inside in the goal confidently plays it outside to Seamus Scanlon, who transfers it on to Michal Quirk. And back to Scanlon again. And he'll use Killian Young. Killian gets it ahead of his man. Still Killian Young fouled. And a free, says the referee. Kerry won a lot of frees, Rishi, in this game, in all over, haven't they?
They have. I'd like to see the free count, because they have got a good lot of frees indeed.
Cussin is in.
Yeah, big Cussin is coming in now, but that was a very bad kick by Dunnock O'Connor. But once again, we see what was happening was the Cork attackers can't get inside the Kerry backs. The Kerry half back line, and all the Kerry full back line in particular, have been absolutely superb. And despite the fact that Cork are having, I would imagine that Cork have had more of the possession in the second half than Kerry, but the more experience the more composed Kerry side are keeping them out, and they're marking them very, very well.
Another 6'7" man inch, that's Michael Custon is in. Gone is Alan O'Connor. Cullen Cooper with the outside of the right boost, plays it across for Kieran Donnelly. Kieran Donnelly wins it back to Dunica Walsh. Is this the point from Walsh? It's looking good. No, just an inch or two to the left and wide. 4 minutes left.
Yeah, lovely ball went into Kieran Donnelly there. The start turned around, passed the ball out to Dunica, and Dunica Walsh had an opportunity for a point and just put it wide. Cork are coming back, they need a goal. It's as simple as that. Cousins is inside.
Miskelis with the ball. 4 minutes left, 4 points in it. Did Tom Sullivan foul his man? Marty Duffy said no. It's a guard against the guard. Tom Sullivan is on James Masters, and the man from Rathmore so far is winning the ball. Plays it back to Declan O'Sullivan. Declan O'Sullivan into Michal Quirk. The GA coach gives it back to the sales rep. That's Declan. Lovely ball out to his left. And that's Tomás O'Shea. They're playing now like a team who are in six All-Irelands in a row. Here goes Killian Young. Killian Young drives it high into the middle, but a poor one from him and mopped up by Owen Cadigan. Back to Graham Canty. Watch says 3 minutes left. 3 minutes. Kerry are away. There will be additional time, possibly 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe we're 5 in total. David Morton is about to come in as well. It's Cork that have possession though. Michal Quirk trying to get the ball away from Dunnock O'Connor. Dunnock O'Connor, Kerry defence surrounding him again. And Kerry defence beating him again. You're seeing it all day, Weeshie. It's a free out to the Kingdom.
Absolutely. And Mike McCarthy. Superb defending again. Close, continued. What composed defending. There's no doubt in my mind, but the Kerry defence have been absolutely superb. What a wonderful, and as Tommy Welch is coming off.
David Morton is in for Tommy Welch. 4 points from play from the young Rahilly's man.
Yeah, one Kerns O'Rahilly's man comes on, and another Kerns O'Rahilly's man goes off. But once again, Kerry defence closed down the Cork attacker there. He just could not get through. There is no way. They came, they tightened up like a clam, and it was a free out for Kerry.
Colm Cooper whispers into the ear of Kieran Donaghy. Aidan O'Mahony is about to come in again. Where's the ball? That's what we're missing. Well, where's the referee? Because he's calling Tom O'Sullivan and he's calling James Masters and he's reaching for the pocket, and Tom O'Sullivan has got a yellow card for what? I do not know. But Tom shakes the head in a little bit of a smile and he accepts the yellow card from Marty Duffy. 33 minutes gone. We're 2 minutes away from Kerry winning another All-Ireland, and they lead by 4. 4 is a good lead. 3 isn't. Paul Galvin. Now, can they get 5? You would call the next one the insurance point if they can get it. David Morton, long for Kieran Donnelly. He's behind his man. It goes into the hands of the goalkeeper, Alan Quirk, and the time is against Cork now, is she?
Yes, indeed, Gary. It looks very like now that Kerry are going to win their 36th All-Ireland title, because Cork, definitely, they have to go for a goal. There's no two ways about it, but time. The Kerry defence has been playing so well, it's hard to see them conceding.
Cusson drives it inside for Masters. Two members of the Garda Síochána. There's hundreds of Garda Síochána around Croke Park. High ball. Dandruff! Oh, brilliantly held inside win again, Weeshie, by Mark O'Shea. Exceptional defending by this man. He's a class act.
Absolutely superb defending by Mark O'Shea. Mark O'Shea, Tommy Griffin, Tom O'Sullivan, Tomás O'Shea, Mike McCarthy, Killian Young. Take your pick. The Kerry defence have been absolutely superb.
Aidan O'Mahony is coming in for Killian Young. Killian as well hasn't put a foot wrong all afternoon. And what an experienced man to bring in, Weeshie, Aidan O'Mahony.
Yes, indeed. Such an experienced man. Kerry have a great bench in there. Jack O'Connor now is giving the substitutes a run, and rightly so. But Killian Young, the man from Renard, had an absolutely superb game. 2 minutes extra to be played. The flashing light goes up underneath the Hogan stand. The flashing light that tells us that there's 2 minutes to be added on, and there's 69 minutes gone now, and Kerry lead by one goal and nine points to 16 points.
Yes, 2 minutes to go. Kerry away from winning another All-Ireland. I'd be claiming a few bob from my own chairman of my own club tonight, because he backed Cork. Oh, what a mistake. Here comes Seamus Scanlon. Seamus Scanlon now to David Morton. David Morton. Well, his dad won 8 All-Ireland medals. The great Ogie. This is David Morton selling ducks and drakes outside to the Cork defence. It's gone out over the line over there. Line ball. Kerry now 2 minutes away from lifting Sam Maguire again for the 36th time. Here comes Michael Shields. Cork need a goal and a point to level it. High ball. Michal Quirk nudge inside. Quirk got his boot to it. Not cleared yet though. Now it's still not cleared. It's gathered by Cusson. Cusson, they have to work it in for a goal. Three of them sticking tight him. Plays the ball outside again. Is that Noel O'Leary? I think it is. This is definitely Patrick Kelly. Kelly, the ball has been driven inside long by Colm O'Neill. A high in hope kick one. A nudge from one of them, left and wide. 1 minute away, we see.
1 minute away, and that was a terrible poor effort by the Corkman. Just kicked it across the face of the goal. Cork a completely dispirited looking now. The composed, confident, experienced Kerry team. The first ever Kerry team to go to six All-Ireland finals in a row. And they're going to claim their 36th All-Ireland title. And the roar from the green and goal, you can feel it moving around Croke Park like a huge blanket of sound. Wonderful to hear it.
We're a half a minute away. Cork haven't scored for 17 minutes. Graham Canty, a punch into the face of Micheál Quirk. Referee takes no action for it. Long ball inside again. Mark O'Shea slipping. It's got by Dunica O'Connor. And he drives it as wide as a gate. Over the bar. Well, over the bar. Completely wide into his 16.
That was a pathetic effort by Dunica O'Connor. No doubt at all about the big high ball came in. When he could have jinked around to sight his men, he just tried to get outside him. And he absolutely ballooned the ball wide. Conor Coonahan will be absolutely disgusted with the way things have gone for him today. Yes. But at the end of the day, from the word go, yep, the better footballing side has won
this
the game.
This could be the last kick out of the game. It's high, it's all over! And Kerry are the All-Ireland champions for 2009! And the flashbulbs go off, and the Kingdom and Jack O'Connor, Ger O'Keefe and Eamon Fitzmaurice, they've reached their holy grail. We're All-Ireland champions again.
All-Ireland champions of Kerry, 1 goal and 9 points to 16 points. And congratulations to everybody involved in this absolutely magnificent bunch of footballers. They will now go down in history as one of the greatest Kerry teams of all time. They have just defeated a highly fancied Cork. And what a wonderful time it has been for Jack O'Connor, Ger O'Keefe and the trainer Alan O'Sullivan and Eamon Fitzmaurice. But at the end of the day, Gary, the better team won, no doubt at all about it. They were highly experienced. They were more settled on the ball. And the whole green and gold from all over Kerry are flowing onto Croke Park.
They never worried, Weeshie. They never panicked. They showed signs of mean that were in six All-Ireland finals.
Gary, we kept saying that continuously throughout, that they were experienced and that they were settled looking. And they never got rattled. They never got confused. And as we are looking down here from the Hogan Stand now, what a sight we look at. We have seen it down through the decades. The green and gold from Kerry, they come from north, south, east, west, Kinmare. They come from Tralee, Killarney and Listowel, flowing onto the green sward, the Croke Park. And Dan O'Sullivan is going to walk in the footsteps of some of the greatest Kerry footballers that ever played football for the Kingdom. Great captains, Dan O'Sullivan. What a wonderful exponent of the game he is and all his players. They were absolutely superb. Gary, this is a great, great Kerry team.
Absolutely. And we'll mention Ty Kennelly. We'll have to mention him. For all the medals his late dad won, Tim, he came home. He gave up so much to leave Australia. He wanted to win an All-Ireland medal. It's an emotional day for him, I would think, Weeshie. He's done it.
Every time Kerry football throws up something different, you think you would have seen it all and you think you would have learned everything from down through the decades. But once again, we see this particular bunch of footballers come through. And Ty Kennelly, my goodness gracious me, what a story, what a fairy tale story it'll be. He's bringing out his book shortly. Won't that be some fairy tale? To come back from Australia after being one of the best players out there and to emulate his late father, Ty. He's looking down from us up there in the sky, as is Liam Higgins and the rest of them all up there and all the great footballers. Gary, this is one of the great Kerry victories of all time.
Yeah, and we mentioned about men coming back. Another man, Jack O'Connor. He's come back. He's won the double this year. He's won the league. He's won the championship. He's got some special touch, hasn't he?
And you're forgetting about the Hogan Cup.
I am.
You are indeed.
The Hogan Cup.
He's winning so much. Yes, Gary, you're spot on. What a manager he is. I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it out. Jack O'Connor is, you can never say who's the greatest,
no.
Gary. Jack O'Connor is one of the great Kerry managers of all time.
Yes.
After what he has done now to come back, what he can do, and the men working with him, Alan O'Sullivan, the trainer, and Pat Flanagan, who came back into the bunch later, and all the backroom team that are behind them, Gary. And to look down here from high up in the Hogan Stand now, and to see the green and gold of Kerry out there in Croke Park, where so many millions of people have trod before them. It's a wonderful sight, wonderful occasion, and a wonderful Kerry victory. You're talking about men of the match. They'll be talking about that. Tom O'Sullivan, would it be him?
We'll pick our own man in the match.
We will. You probably go for one of the defenders, I'd say. Sullivan or...
Tommy Griffin.
Great game after the goal. Absolutely. It'll be very hard to pick a man at the match.
Yeah.
Again, I suppose Cork threw everything at us, but, you know, everything fell perfectly for Kerry. The Dublin performance, they were poor enough against Meath, they were poor in the qualifiers, and today they've reached their holy grail again, and they're walking up now to collect the cup.
They are indeed. What a marvellous sight in Croke Park. They're still streaming in from Hill 16, the green and gold, wonderful stuff, and the late Gary McMahon and all those great men. Sean O'Connor from Knocknagoshal was buried last week, a great Kerry footballer. He played minor, junior and senior championship football for Kerry, did Sean O'Connor. And what a wonderful occasion it is, Gary, and for Dan O'Sullivan, the Glen Carman, there's going to be some night in Glen Bay when he goes back there next Tuesday night.
We'll wait for the presentation, and the Kerry sides, one by one, are making their way up the Hogan Stand. And of course, we'll mention as well, two South Kerry clubs, Vichy, they were up here last February, won All-Irelands as well. That's what it's all about.
That's right. Three All-Irelands after coming to the kingdom. Not forgetting the under-21 and the minor hurling, I was reminded of today, dear. But Jack O'Connor has done an absolutely tremendous job. He has done it with the Hogan, winning the Hogan Cup, and he has done it coming back to Kerry now. This is a truly great Kerry team. You often ask what's the secret of Kerry, and I wonder too, because it goes on and on like a rolling tide.
Thousands and thousands of green and gold supporters on the turf of Croke Park. Oakdaron coming, Luke Lascaillis, Christy Cooney, a proud Corkman himself in his own right. He salutes the Kerry supporters. They salute back the Oakdaron, and Darren O'Sullivan is about to lift the coveted prize, which is the Sam Maguire Cup. Darren O'Sullivan lifts it to the clouds of Kerry supporters, and Kerry are once again All-Ireland Senior Football Champions.
Yes, indeed, the man from Dinbeglen Carr, one of the fastest footballers ever donned the green and gold. What a wonderful exponent he is. He lifts the Sam Maguire Cup, following in the footsteps of some of the legendary Kerry players who have gone before him. The big difference to me today between the two teams, highly experienced team playing against an inexperienced team.
Yeah, that's quite correct. And again, I suppose we should use the bench, and I know it's an old cliche, it's not a 15-man game again. But when you can bring in the players of the likes of Kieran Donaghy, Micheál Quirk, Aidan O'Mahony, David Morton, Dunica Walsh, that's serious players to bring in.
Yeah, and the big weight of expectation and Cork, Gary, it got to them, there's no doubt about it.
Like Dublin.
Like the very same, like Dublin. We spoke about it before the game, about the weight of expectation and the experience of Kerry. Well, to me anyway, there's no doubt the way Kerry played. They're like a well-oiled machine. They hold the ball, they fall back, they defend, they work for each other. Their work rate is absolutely superb. I'm going to go for either Tommy Griffin or Tom O'Sullivan for man of the match. And to be quite honest about it, I can't make up my mind.
Well, it's a talking point, and no doubt Billy and Ambrose will be joining you very shortly, Inge. But just to give you the picture here in Croke Park, if you are listening to us on the net or anywhere around the world, thousands and thousands of Kerry supporters, no crushing or anything, thankfully, like that. Well behaved. Cork supporters there with them as well. But Darren Sullivan going through his speech, and he landed down to Mid Kerry. Of course, it all happened for him when Mid Kerry won the county championship last year. He was nominated as the captain. And for a young man, we saw Cullum Cooper coming up here, we saw Declan O'Sullivan coming up here. All young men. And, you know, they've shown so much maturity in the last couple of years.
Gary, there's no doubt. And listen to me, there's an awful lot of talk about the captaincy of the Kerry team, that it should be appointed by somebody else. I heard people talking about it in the radio yesterday, said it was a ridiculous way to choose a captain by from the county championship. I am going to be one of the old-timers, and I'm going to stay with the system that we have, because I can tell you this, it has worked for Kerry since 1903, and don't change it.
I also want to mention at this particular point, Darragh O'Shea, and the people have asked me to mention the players that have played with him through the championship. So here we go. 94, Noel O'Mahony against Limerick. 95, Conor Carney against Limerick. 95, Liam Flaherty against Tip in Cork. 96, John O'Connell against Tip. 96, Donald Daly against Waterford. 96, Seamus Moynihan against Cork. 97, William Kirby was there for so long. 2002, Seamus Scanlon parted him against Cork. 2000 2003 Owen Brosnan partnered him against Roscommon. Paddy Kelly came in 2004 and partnered him against Dublin. Kieran Donaghy was there in 06 against Waterford, Tipperary and Cork. Tommy Griffin was there in 06 against Longford, Armagh, Cork and Mayo. And in 2007 Micheál Quirk partnered him against Waterford and Cork. Weishi Dara O'Shea.
What, Dara O'Shea? Now, you can never say who was the greatest Kerry player of all time. No one knows that because we haven't seen them all playing. But when you're talking about Dara O'Shea, you're talking now, you're putting him in with Jack O'Shea, and you're putting him in with Mick O'Connell, and you're putting him in with Paddy Kennedy, you're putting him in with the Patty Aeroplane O'Shea. Gary, he walks with those people now. He's equivalent to them. He's one of the great Kerry footballers. Let me finish up in my way of saying, and I can never, because you see something different all the time. You asked what's the secret of Kerry, and often I wish that I knew. Till doubtless, Imad, though born on the sod, that question has puzzled me too. You see the lad walking the meadow as he tosses the hay without rest, and he yearns for the lengthening shadow as the sun slowly sinks in the west. Then he harks to the thud of a football, and things more important must yield. But nothing must stay in a Kerry lad's way when the ball bounces high in the field.
Well, from the William Shakespeare of Legion, otherwise known as Weishi Fogarty, we leave it on that. A fantastic win by Kerry. Don't forget, don't go away from us. You'll get the views of Billy and Ambrose. I'll be making my way towards the Kerry dressing room, and hopefully, I think we're on air until about 7 o'clock this evening. So an awful lot more to come. 2 hours more coming of a historic day here in Croke Park as Darren O'Sullivan continues his speech to the Kerry supporters. He's asked for 3 cheers. He's got the 3 cheers. The final score here in the 2009 All-Ireland Senior Football Final, Kerry 16 points, Cork 1 goal and 9 points. From me, from Weishi, from John Heffernan on sound, it's back to Alan Cantwell in Tralee.
Radio Kerry, live from Croke Park for the All-Ireland Football Final, in association with Billy Nocton, main Volvo dealer, Mile High Tralee.
Well, we can let the celebrations begin. It's title number 36 for Kerry. 16 points to 1-6, the final score. It was an absolutely thrilling encounter. 16 points to 1-9, I should say. An absolutely thrilling encounter in Croke Park. And I thought in the early stages of the second half there, Kerry retreating back with numbers behind the ball. But it proved to be a winning move. Ty Kennelly being substituted halfway through the second half as well was a big surprise to me. He's been interviewed at the moment and he's done one of his famous Riverdance routines. He did it when he won the AFL out in Australia in 2005 when the Sydney Swans beat the West Coast Eagles, and he made all the front pages the following day. So look out for your papers tomorrow, because Ty Kennelly is going to be on most of them, I would imagine. Fantastic win, title number 36, the fifth this decade, six finals in a row. What more can you say about this Kerry team? Are they a good team? Are they a great team? They're a superb team. They're going to be welcomed home tomorrow night from Rathmore to Tralee down to Killarney, so you can prepare the bonfires and get them going, particularly down around Glenbay. There'll be huge celebrations down around Mid-Kerry with the captain, of course, Darren O'Sullivan, bringing the Sam Maguire to the divisional board for the first time in quite a while. I'll check on the old stats on that. Weishi breaking into a bit of poetry there at the end was slightly emotional to hear him talk about what it is to be of Kerry, and certainly on a day on an All-Ireland final to be supporting the kingdom on such a day. Congratulations to Kerry, to Jack O'Connor, to Eamonn Fitzmaurice, to Ger O'Keefe, to Alan O'Sullivan, the trainer, to all the players, all the backroom staff, Maureen O'Shea, the PRO, Peter Twiss, Jerome Conway, everybody involved in a fantastic effort, and we look forward to welcoming them back to Kerry tomorrow night. The lines are open on 083 300 3300 for text messages. You can let us know from wherever you are, around the county, around the country, around the world, what you thought of today's game. Who is your man of the match? There's no prizes for it, but it'd be interesting to see who you think it might be. My money's on Tom Sullivan, the Rathmore man. I spoke to his father in Rathmore the other night, an absolute gentleman, and delighted for Tom with such a great performance. Tommy Griffin, another man who'll be in contention. Ty Kennelly was probably a runner as well before he was substituted, but Tommy Walsh with 4 points as well, maybe another for consideration. But it is a fantastic day for Kerry, and I'm delighted to be joined now by Billy O'Shea to look back on what was a historic victory for Kerry. Billy, your thoughts just in the throes of the early moments of the 36th title for Kerry and doing it in some style against Cork today.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. And I want to go back to the middle of the summer when things were not looking good. And we said that if Kerry were going to win an All-Ireland this year, it would take some heart, it would take some character for a team to pull themselves out of the hole that they were in. And by God, did they do it, Alan. I mean, they were looking like going nowhere when they were playing Sligo, Longford and Antrim. And we said to ourselves, are we going to see Croke Park at all? And they dug deep, they kept at it. We should never question this team. We really shouldn't, because they have heart and spirit. They've got abundance of heart. Absolutely. And, you know, I saw it there in the presentation, Alan, afterwards. I mean, every player got a fantastic reception when they went up to pick up the cup. I don't know if you saw it now on television down there or not.
We had it on mute, but I could see that they were all getting a good reaction as they were doing it. Normally that just tapers off towards the end, but they were getting it right through the subs and right to the end of the squad.
Absolutely fabulous. And the fact that the supporters stayed on to acknowledge this truly wonderful team. And I think that they deserve every acknowledgement that's thrown upon them for the way that they, as I said earlier, got themselves out of a situation that didn't look very, very good earlier on in the year. Nobody had counted on Kerry. You know, they were going out in the betting. If you were a betting man, you'd see that the odds on them were pushing out and out. And nobody gave them a chance on, you know, not alone getting to the All-Ireland, but let alone winning it. And they've come back and they've done it in some style. And I think that whatever credit is bestowed upon them won't be enough. Because I don't think we can actually, you know, praise them enough for the situation that they got themselves out of and what they put themselves into in relation to winning this All-Ireland. Now, if you had to be critical and analytical about things, you'd have to say Cork kicked 10 wides in the second half as opposed to Kerry's 2, and Cork and Kerry won by 4 points. So, like, I mean, where everything is great and, like, we're all going to celebrate, and I don't want to be anyway knocking Kerry or whatever, but we have to acknowledge the fact that Cork had more than enough chances to win this game. And that's from the analytical point of view that I'm coming at, Alan.
Okay, Billy. Well, we'll look at a few of the key factors there in the second half, but one of the stats that's just jumping off the page at me here, I've just 10 strokes in a row beside Cork wides for the second half and just 2 for Kerry, as you say. Those stats don't lie. They were shots on goal. On another day, they would have gone over the bar and we might have looked at a completely different result. But that's what it's all about, Billy. It's all about putting the ball over the bar and getting the scores, and that's what Kerry did. And it was a great performance. The defence, though, I think whatever about the attack, the defence is where most of the plaudits are going to go today.
Yeah, I think for a change, I think the man of the match selection is going to come from the defence. Tom Sullivan is going to win it. If Tom Sullivan doesn't get man of the match, there's an injustice. For me, he's been an absolute stalwart for Kerry this year. I don't know what drugs Tom is on, but they're working. He's been having a fantastic year since he moved to left cornerback. And the man beside me is beside me again, Ambrose. He's just arrived.
Good man.
Ambrose made the point all through the summer that Tom Sullivan at fullback doesn't look comfortable. He did never look comfortable at fullback. We didn't have a fullback scenario. Tommy Griffin came in and plugged that hole. And Tom Sullivan went to the corner. And by God, was he a different man when he moved to the corner. He's been an absolute revelation. And I think for me, if he doesn't get man of the match, you know,
it would be an injustice.
An absolute injustice, because he was immense. And he's been immense for the last number of games, in fairness to him.
Billy, I just mentioned there, I interviewed Tom's dad, his namesake, the other night in Rathmore. And he spoke really nicely about Tom, about him growing up. And particularly, he mentioned about his relationship with Mike McCarthy. And the fact that Mike came back into the team, he says, provided an unbelievable boost to Tom personally.
Yeah.
With regard to the way he was playing.
Yeah, I tell you, Alan, that's not a lie by any manner of means. I mean, if you look, when I was finishing up at Kerry, the two boys were starting, and there was a bond between the two of them. You know, they're good friends, and they got on fierce well, and they used to hang out together. And you could see that when Mike came back, Tom's game improved, but it also made Mike that bit more comfortable coming in as well, because at least he knew that Tom was there, you know, to back him up.
That's right.
As such. So like Mike McCarthy was, you know, Mike McCarthy's Mike McCarthy. He's a fantastic footballer. But the fact that he had Tom with him, an old soldier that played with Mike all along, you know, over the years, it was more comfortable for Mike to come back in that scenario, knowing that someone like Tom, who he soldiered with for quite a while, was there beside him. And, you know, I just think Tom Sullivan has had one fantastic year. And I sincerely hope that he does get that award this evening, because he more than deserves it.
That's
more
great.
Than deserves it.
Well, look, I'm going to introduce Ambrose. Ambrose, it's been a memorable day for you. You've led the 25th anniversary of the 1984 team at Croke Park today, and all the festivities that were attached to that. But you've also watched Kerry win the 36th title. You mentioned about winning the centenary, the millennium, and now the 125th. You had it spot on the last time we spoke, Ambrose.
That's right. It is absolutely fantastic to be a Kerry man up here today, Alan. And the manner in which they achieved the victory, I thought, was very, very good as well. As Billy says, our defence were fantastic. Our full back line, Mark O'Shea, Tommy Griffin and Tom Sullivan, I mean, they were brilliant, to say the least. I mean, they snuck out any threat that Cork posed to us. Our half-back line, Mike McCarthy, I mean, Pearce O'Neill, we were going to head-to-heads yesterday, we were talking about them. The head-to-heads today, Kerry won all the big ones. I mean, Mike McCarthy, to me, he nullified Pearce O'Neill. I mean, Mark O'Shea had a fantastic game on Golding. Tom Sullivan, the same on the other corner. I mean, they were playing outstanding football. Midfield were in and out of it at patches, but I mean, you must take our overall performance. It was very, very good. We had our homework done, and you must give Jack O'Connor credit. He took a lot of stick all year, maybe for bad performances. You'll have to credit him on this one as well. He'd done his homework spot on. Kerry got a right good result here today. And I mean, as you say, it's the 105th anniversary of our association. And what more fitting than a team like this? You know, we've had our ups and downs in Croke Park. This team, I think, deserves. You look at the Dara O'Shea's, the Tomas O'Shea's, the Mark O'Shea's. They're real true Kerry men in the greatest fashion. I mean, they come to Croke Park, they wear their jersey with pride. I think they're an example to every youngster and every one of us that call ourselves Kerry men to watch those fellas here in the way they played today in Croke Park. It would make you proud to be a Kerry man, Alan.
Billy, just looking back at the second half, we look at a couple of the key moments there just in terms of the way the second half did develop. Kerry, in the first couple of minutes, looked like they were dropping players behind the ball. They were looking for a bit of containment. It worried me in the first two or three minutes to see the style that Kerry set out their stall in the second half. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, to be fair, I think that Cork went in and just went on a pure attack mode. Kerry did exactly the opposite. They went in a defence mode. And a lot of the game, if you look at it for the first 10 minutes, actually, Alan, of that second half, was played in the Kerry defence.
Yeah.
And I think Cork will definitely rue an awful lot of the wides that they kicked, because a lot of them were scoreable wides. Well, if you can say such a thing, no.
I know.
Scoreable
wides. Well, it's just that Kerry did get the first two scores the second half through Colin Cooper, and Darren O'Sullivan was an extraordinary effort. I don't know how he put it over the bar, but
absolutely, a great run by him, now, in fairness. But having said that, the majority of the play at the start of the second half was played in the Kerry half. And for me, that was a worrying aspect. And the fact that Cork didn't have their scoring boots on today, Alan, you know, we can count ourselves a small bit fortunate, because they did own the ball for a lot of that game. If you were to analyse the whole game, Cork definitely had more of the possession than Kerry had, but I think it was just down to our defence, and the fact that Cork didn't have their scoring boots on was the decisive factor in this game, because Cork cleaned up in midfield for a lot of that game, Alan.
They did.
They cleaned up for a lot of that game, and you take Paul Gallivan out for the couple of breaks that he won. Kerry didn't win an awful lot of breaks around the middle of the field either.
No.
So, excuse me. You know, from that point of view, we can count ourselves a bit fortunate that we were able to get ourselves out of a situation. But having said that too, Alan, I mean, you have to give credit to this Kerry team. You know, I'm going back to what I said earlier. We shouldn't be next or near Croke Park after what we saw during the summer.
I know we had a couple of conversations during the summer. I certainly didn't think we'd be talking on the third week of September, and nor did you, and I don't think Ambrose did either.
No, absolutely not. I just thought that we had got ourselves into a situation that we were going to find it very difficult to get out of. Now, we did it before in 2006. But having said that, there was one switch made in 2006 by bringing Kieran Donnelly to the edge of the square.
Yeah.
This year, you know, there were so many different permutations that had to be put in place before we got this right. And if you look at it, the day against Dublin, we put out a team that was completely different to the team that was playing for the 3 years previous to that. We didn't adopt the high ball approach into the square. We approached the game with a more running game, and it actually suited our players big time, and it brought them on no end. Plus, and this is a fact, if you look at the warm-up before the Dublin game, the Meath game and the game today, it wasn't as intense. The warm-up prior to all the other games, it was going on for 20 minutes, it was hard-hitting, and lo and behold, fellas were tired for the first 10-15 minutes of each game.
And it looked, and it showed.
And it showed. They hit the ground running in the last three games, and you have to be very careful with a team that is at, we'll say, 29, 30, 31. There's no point in flogging them at the start of a game, because it's going to take them time to get their breath and get back, whereas young fellas are going to be fresh anyway. And I think that had an awful lot to do with the last three games. The preparation was fantastic. It was nice, it was brisk, it was quick, and there was none of this long, arduous, heavy, intense warm-up that we've seen for the last couple of months. It was nice and brisk and quick and fast, and got on with the game then when they hit the ground running and when the ball was thrown in. And for me, that had a lot to do with it. And I, you know, myself and Ambrose were talking about it earlier. Pat Flanagan has an awful lot of credit to take for all of this, because he's taken over the mantle of the training over the last number of weeks. And I think his approach and his method of training has reflected in this team's performance. And I hope that doesn't go unnoticed.
Absolutely. And of course, Alan O'Sullivan for the work that he did earlier in the season. But certainly Pat came in with his, I mean, he's the best in the business by the looks of things. And he just brought that extra edge. And he knows the players inside out. He had all their regimes worked out. And obviously it was a case of just slipping back into the slipstream, back into the action again.
Well, absolutely. And the other side of it too, Alan, is that Alan Sullivan is going to have learned a lot from Pat Flanagan's approach as well. You know, he's been doing it, we'll say, all year, previous to Pat Flanagan taking over full responsibility. And he'll learn from that because Alan was involved as well. So, like, that can only argue well if Alan O'Sullivan wants to stay on as the physical trainer of the Kerry team. You know, that's going to argue well for him. That's a great learning experience for someone like Pat Flanagan as an aside to you to help in the development of the team. You know, it's looking good, you know, going forward. The only thing I'd be worried about, Alan, is that, and we won't find this out for a few weeks, what kind of a panel will we have for next year?
Well, it'll be decision time for a few people. I know they'll enjoy the next couple of weeks, and it'll be north, south, east and west to all the divisional boards will be visited and all the clubs will be visited. So we'll offer them that and we'll afford them that and let the players make their mind up. But obviously the players in question, you're talking about the likes of, obviously Dara O'Shea has to make some sort of call on it. Tom Sullivan has been threatening to call it a day for a couple of seasons, but there's absolutely no need. Based on his performance today, we could do with him next year again, Billy.
That's my theory gone out the window. I had five lads that would certainly give it consideration. I'm not saying that they should retire now.
Okay.
But I had five fellas.
Are you going to name them?
I will, yeah. I have no problem naming them. I think that Dermot Murphy will give it consideration.
Okay.
Tommy Griffin will give it consideration. Tom Sullivan, Mike Mack, Dara Shea, and possibly Tom Shea. Now, I think the only reason that Tom Shea might stay on is to beat Dara's record of 81 or 82 appearances. That's the only reason I could see him staying on.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think those lads will sit down and have a look at things. Will Ty Kennelly, you know, will he stay around? Will he, you know,
yeah,
who knows?
There's talk. I think some of the Sydney Swans gang were there at Croke Park today watching him, so.
Yeah, you know, there's all that kind of talk, and, you know, there's other fellas being talked about as well. So I think that those lads will probably sit down and have a look at things and see what way they're going. I hope they don't go, because if we lose that amount of personnel in that short space of time, they're irreplaceable in my books. And I think that, you know, we have to be very, very careful. If we can coax a few of them to stay on in maybe a kind of a helpful role, like, you know, impact subs or whatever like that, that they would consider it, because, you know, they're immense players.
They're immense players.
Irreplaceable in my books, Alan.
Ambrose, can I ask you, about halfway through the second half there, Ty Kennelly was called ashore. I couldn't understand it, just the way the game was panning out and being played, that I thought Ty was a key figure. Donica Walsh was the player that was brought in. It didn't really have an effect of an impact sub. Were you surprised to see Tig being called ashore?
Very surprised, because I thought Tig was having a really good game today. And I the only thing we would come up with, we were a couple of watching the game together, and we figured like he must have an injury or something, because they certainly wouldn't be taking him off because he was playing bad. Because at the time, I think just 2 minutes before that, he handled a great ball, and he was a threat. And you must remember one thing. Again, we talk about head-to-heads. He went head-to-head with Graham Canty today, and he won that head-to-head. So, I mean, you know, all the big ones, the big questions that Kerry asked of Cork today, Cork hadn't the answers we had. So, you're dead right. I was amazed to see Ty Kennelly being called ashore. I mean, you know, he had a fine game. And as I say, he troubled Canty. The other fellow you have to credit today is Tomás O'Shea and Paul Kerrigan. Paul Kerrigan was by far and away Cork's best forward all year, himself and O'Neill. And, I mean, Tomás O'Shea nullified him. I think he'd one kick at goal. I mean, he got no smell of a ball at all from Tomás O'Shea. I mean, you'll have to credit Tomás with that's good defending. But, you know, you'll have to look back on, and we're praising our defence. We were under pressure today. I mean, we won the All-Ireland, fair play to them. But, I mean, Cork will have a look at this video and they won't like playing it back. Cork missed a lot. They missed a lot from open play. They kicked a lot of wides. You know, they made our job that little bit easier for us. So, I mean, you know, we'll take it. In fairness, it was a great win for Kerry. But, I mean, we'll sit down and analyse it. There was long periods of that game where Cork outplayed us. I thought the middle of the field, we held square maybe for 10 minutes in the first half. We lost our way there. We came again strong with 10 minutes. The second half, again, I thought there was 16 minutes in that second half where we were outplayed in the middle of the park. You know, but I mean, our subs that came on, you have to credit David Morton. I thought he played done well when he came on, so as did Michael Quirk.
Michael Quirk, yeah.
Our panel is strong, stronger than we think. And, you know, will it need to be? Because I think, like Billy, I think there are a few fellas after today that will call time in it and fantastic careers. You know, they owe us nothing, but I would agree with Billy. I could see three of them going anyway and retiring. I think, you know, now's the time to go. They're at the height of their career. They've it all done, as the fella says. They have another All-Ireland medal in the back pocket, and they've answered a lot of the critics and a lot of questions that were asked about them. I think this team have done so. From that point of view, I suppose, you know, there's, to be sad to say it, but I think there's one or two of them, at least maybe two, that we won't see in Croke Park again, Alan.
Okay. Maybe one just final question for each of you. Billy, the decision of Jack O'Connor to come back, he took a sabbatical, Pat O'Shea took over for a spell. He's come back. In his role before, he won two All-Irelands. He won two National Leagues. He's won a National League this year and another All-Ireland to add to the mix. You know, what more can you say about the man? He likes to play the stakes very high. I mean, he made some key decisions, some key changes along the way, and all the talk about the disunity and discord in the camp, he played down and just got through all that period, and he's come out and he has led a team to an All-Ireland. It must be really recognised as one of the great achievements.
It is indeed, and I mean, fair play to you for bringing up that point, because I certainly think that Jack deserves all the credit that's been bestowed upon him after coming back the way he did. Personally, I thought it was a very brave decision, given the fact that he wrote a book, and where he publicly named people as well in the book, and you know, that did come against him, I think, to a degree. But he seems to have won over the players in the last number of months, and he's certainly, you know, he's put himself up there as one of the great managers, having done what having done what he's achieved, as you mentioned there earlier. And like, his contract isn't up yet, he can still achieve what he did in the past. And you know, management is about player management and how you deal with players. I mean, training a team is one thing, but managing them and you know, bringing them on side and bringing them to your way of thinking, that's a completely different thing altogether. And from what I've heard is that he put that responsibility not alone on himself, but also on the likes of Eamon Fitzmaurice and Gerald Cleave.
Yeah.
That's called delegation, and that's what management is about. No one player or no one man can take the responsibility of looking after all of 30-odd players at any given time. If you can delegate responsibility to other members of your management, that's the sign of a good manager, and that's a sign of trust. And I think that that's what a lot of Jack O'Connor has brought to the table. And, in fairness, it's well known that Eamon Fitzmaurice was the link between the senior players and Jack. And I think that that was a wise move in bringing him on board from day one, because I read his articles in the Examiner last year, and I heard a few of his analysis after games. A very shrewd man, very, very wise in the ways of the game. He was a great reader of the game from centre-back himself. And the fact that he was the liaison with the players as well, having played with a lot of them, I think bore testament to a wise decision by Jack to employ him as part of this management team. So all in all, I think that Jack has played his cards very, very well, in fairness. And I think a lot of what happened during the summer, I only heard this lately, was possibly because the training that they had done for the championship was mostly done during the three games where they didn't play well against the Division 4 teams. And that probably didn't reflect totally on how good this team actually was. I think they were very, very tired. I mentioned earlier about the warm-ups before games, and apparently that was taking its toll because of the heavy training that they were doing. But look, they got away with it, and it exploded from Dublin, and look, we're all Ireland champions, it's great.
That's it. Ambrose, I leave you with the final word, because I just wanted to ask what you think would be going through the mind of Darren O'Sullivan, young in age as he is. He's captain of a Kerry team. He's going to be bringing the cup home, not just to his club in Glenbeigh, Glencar, and to all the extended family and relations that he has down there, but to the heart of Mid Kerry and to Kerry itself. It must be a prospect that he just can't simply wait for.
Oh yeah, he's got a busy couple of weeks ahead of him now. A hard few weeks as well, might I add. It can take its toll.
I think Ulster Bank have been kind to him.
I think so, and he quite rightly mentioned him in his speech as well.
He got a good plug in.
That was good.
And
for
he got another one
up
there.
I think that's 2 weeks off anyway, at least. That's it. But he'll want them all, because I mean, he's a lot of late nights ahead of him now. You know, the first couple of nights are fine, but you know, when you're a week into it, the cup going here and going down, it takes its toll, and you'll expect it to be there. The onus is on you as captain to take this cup around, and everybody expects you. And you know, you can't go to one and say, I can't go to another one. But like Billy said, that word he used there, delegation, I think Darren will have to delegate a couple of players as well.
Yeah.
Give him a hand with the cup, because otherwise, I'd say he'll be one very tired puppy by the end of the September, I think.
All right, so, well, look, we're going to leave it there. Ambrose, on the 25th anniversary of the day, you did exactly the same thing and went up to the steps of the Hogan Stand to lift the Sam Maguire Cup. Darren O'Sullivan has done it, and it has brought to the end our season's coverage of the All-Ireland Championship, and of course it's ended in a very fitting way for every Kerryman and Kerry fan listening, Kerry man and woman and fan listening in, wherever they're listening around the world. Billy O'Shea won All-Ireland in 97, Ambrose 84, 85, 86. It's been a pleasure talking to you all through the season. I know we had our moments where we didn't think it was going to quite work out this way today, but it has, and we're delighted. And I'd like to thank you both for your time and your contributions throughout the entire season.
Okay, Alan.
Thank you.
Great stuff there. Billy O'Shea from Lawn Rangers, Ambrose O'Donovan, originally from Gunnigulla, and of course, as I say, commemorated today, 25 years on from the 1984 win. And what did Kerry go and do? Win their 36th title, their fifth this decade. And any question about team of the decade, which I'm not, don't subscribe to myself, but if there's a name on that particular title, it is definitely Kerry's.